Howard Lutnick, currently serving as the 41st United States Secretary of Commerce, joined Cantor Fitzgerald in 1983, rising rapidly to become its president and CEO at age 29, establishing himself as a prominent Wall Street figure for over three decades, rebuilding Cantor Fitzgerald after the devastating loss of 658 employees, including his brother, in the September 11th, 2001 attacks, an event he somehow missed.
Jeffrey Epstein was your neighbor. He was your neighbor for 10 years. How well did you know him?
All right. So we are in number 11 and he lives in number 9.
The head of Cantor Fitzgerald, Howard Lutnick, just happened to be out of the office that day that the terrorists struck.
When I was talking to Cantor Fitzgerald brokers and bankers in the days leading up to 9/11, they themselves were buying these airline puts. They told me, based on rumors that were coming out of Alex Brown, associated with Buzzy Krongard. So this looks to me as if CIA insiders knew enough about what was going on, but chose to make money rather than blowing the whistle.
He literally watched the plane go into the building, go into the World Trade Center. Amazing story. That alone is an amazing story. He was delayed because his wife insisted that he finally, after years, take his child to school.
Recently, taking the economic wheel on the Trump administration's second term, Lutnick publicly championed and defended the tariffs as essential for national security and economic rebalancing, dismissing concerns about their legality or economic fallout, calling worries about Supreme Court invalidation silly.
In the very unlikely event that you're wrong, what is the contingency plan? You'd have to refund these tariffs, how the hell does that work?
You know, to think about silly things is a waste of time.
The mechanism offered companies an upfront payment of 20 to 30% of the duties paid in exchange for assigning their legal claim to any refund, effectively a litigation finance bet that the tariffs would be ruled unlawful, triggering government repayments of potentially hundreds of billions in collected duties. $175 billion at last count. Many have been quick to debunk the possibility of Lutnick scamming the United States. It is all based on a 2025 Wired magazine article that claimed the firm had already completed a $10 million deal in refund rights, a claim that remains a he said, she said between media reports and company denials. Regardless, Lutnick's myriad of Epstein connections is raining down like meteors from the sky.
We rebuild our house. We move in 2005. Okay. Jeffrey Epstein is arrested in like 08, I think, or something like
right, that. Right.
So knock on the door. His assistant on like a Saturday says, Mr. Epstein, your neighbor would like to invite you over for coffee.
Nick, I think you understand the root of concern here. It's the way you described very emphatically your first encounter with him in his apartment, said you were disgusted, would never have any contact with him again.
My wife and I decided that I will never be in the room with that disgusting person ever again. So I was never in the room with him socially, for business, or for even philanthropy. If that guy was there, I wasn't going because he's gross.
Did you, in fact, make the visit to Jeffrey Epstein's private island?
I did have lunch with him as I was on a boat going across on a family vacation. To suggest there was anything untoward about that in 2012, I don't recall why we did it.
Lutnick is referencing a supposed innocent trip to Epstein Island, referenced in an Epstein email that reveals creepy details about the ages of the children, a constant red flag in the Epstein emails. This is followed up 3 years later with an invite to Jeffrey Epstein to an intimate event for Hillary Clinton at Cantor Fitzgerald from Lutnick, followed by another email 2 years later thanking Epstein for a donation in honor of Howard Lutnick.
Yeah. That's my story. A one and absolutely done.
This isn't a Trump issue. This is a reminder that the 41st United States Secretary of Commerce works for us, we the people.
Yeah, have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Listening to The War Room with your host, Rob Dude. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is February 27, 2026. I am your host, Rob Dude, hosting The War Room until Harrison Smith can make it in. He's been briefly detained, not by any authority figures, but under his own power, but he will be in as soon as he can. And until then, I think the big news of the day so far has been the Bill Clinton deposition going on up in Chappaqua. And just on the heels of that report we did with Howard Lutnick, let's go to this first file. This is Trump. It's a short, very short clip. I think this is Trump on his way on Air Force One or Air Force Two to get to Air Force One. He's taken off, I think, to come to Texas. So they asked him because all, you know, yesterday or day before yesterday, there's a new picture of Howard Lutnick on the island. And Lutnick said he only went there one time. But now we have this picture here. I'll show you there, that one right there. That's old Lutnick. I don't know. I think he's got a little bit of explaining to do. He's not going to be able to laugh this one off. I don't see his family, and I don't see a sailboat anywhere because he said he was on vacation with his family. Yeah, I don't see much of a family around there. It seems like a bunch of dudes hanging out, probably talking about scoring with chicks on the island, young ladies even, young girls even. So let's go. This is Trump on Lutnick, clip six.
Well, Howard would go in and do whatever he has to say. He's a very innocent guy. He's doing a good job.
Well, you know, Lutnick probably told him, Mr. President, I had nothing to do with this. I don't know. You know, we just live next door to each other. I don't know how this happened. Suddenly I slipped and I'm on the island. Oy vey. Representative Luna came out today and said, based on the testimony today, that she thinks Epstein is running intelligence gathering operations, and that's why they targeted Bill Clinton and other people like that. So they could, because that's, you know, he was brokering in information. This is what Epstein seemed to be brokering in anything. He was like, I think someone said he was like a storefront. You know, you want some women, you want some eggs, you want, you know, an aborted baby injected into you. Do you want a clone? You want some guns? You want to come to the island? See, it's all there. He's like kind of a jack of all trades. You want me to take your money and make more money with it? That's kind of what Epstein was. So here's a clip one with Representative Luna earlier today.
In lines of questioning that Jeffrey Epstein was running a intelligence gathering operation. In my professional opinion, I do believe it was a honeypot operation. And I do believe that there's a list of individuals who did engage in trafficking, were given these plea deals, and I'm going to name those individuals right now. The first one would be Leslie Groff. The second one, Sarah Kellen. The third one, Nadia Markova. And the fourth one, Adriana Ross. All of these women engaged in the trafficking of minors as adults. They were working and complicit with Jeffrey Epstein's operation. And in my opinion, they are not to be given victim status because they did partake in harming young girls. I remember seeing in some of the files, some of these girls were, you know, as young as 10, 11 years old and older. And so obviously we have a lot of work to do, but I did want to come and give an update. And like,
and I believe Nadia Markova was a pilot for Epstein. I believe that was her name. We did a report on this in, at the end of 2019, after just after Epstein had been killed. Of course, we released with the false flags, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. And then we had a guy come in here who was a whistleblower. I guess he was a whistleblower. He had some insider information. We didn't put him on camera, but he had a lot of good information. And what it was centered around was the way they would shop for these girls. They had them dress up. Remember, there's these Amazon buys that Epstein was making where he's getting a lot of uniforms, and it looked like, you know, these skirts. And I'm like, I recognize that. That was from our report back in 2019, where they had girls dressed up as flight attendants, and they're doing stuff like this, and they're standing there. And it was really bad video. It was like put together. It looked like by amateurs, but it would make sense. Is that the same one? No. See, it's the one on the right there. I think she's the one that that we did a lot on, because that was the flight. I don't know. The flight networks were still up and running. And Nadia, yeah, Markanova. Yeah, there it is. So you can find that on band.video. I think if you go in and you type in Epstein flight network still in operation, something like that, you can find that. It's an over an hour report talking about all this information we had on her and others. She seemed to be a victim when she was younger, but then she stayed on probably because it was good money to fly Epstein and people around and probably recruit girls and whatnot. Let's go to Comer now. This is Comer, how Bill Clinton testified under oath, and that he said Donald Trump was not involved. So now we got Clinton exonerating him. We already have the FBI exonerating him, saying he's the one who turned him in. But will this stop the people that just want this to be about Trump? Probably not. This is clip three.
President Clinton said, that's for you to decide. And the president went on to say that the president, Trump, has never said anything to me to make me think he was involved, and he meant with Epstein. So just, I know there's a lot of curiosity about President Trump. I thought that was an interesting thing that President Clinton said. So I'll let the Democrats have the podium, and they can answer your questions. But we'll.
So, yeah, they had the Democrats coming on. The Democrats are like, we want Trump to come testify. We want him. And so they're not going to be happy until they get him in the chair, even though, you know, they've gone after him left and right with things. You know, indicting him supposedly with the secret, top secret files, even though he's the president. He can, at the time he was the president. Didn't do anything about Joe Biden, though. That was okay. But now we have this exclusive video leaked of Bill Clinton's Jeffrey Epstein congressional testimony. This dropped earlier today. This is a pretty amazing video. So join me in looking at this exclusive video here. Bill seems to have developed a bit of a mustache in this, but he's going to read his official statement. This is the official statement on video. Here it is.
The second reason I'm here is that the girls and women that I was unable to rape, and I'm sorry they were able to escape, but the children I ate were delicious. Sorry, he didn't say that. He didn't say this. The second reason I'm here is for the cocaine. I know you guys got a lot of it. I heard Hunter might be here later. Sorry. This is actually him.
Stop it, Jones.
I love David Rockefeller. I love Bill Gates. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, buddy boy. Oh, this is better than a Big Mac. Let me get back to this work I'm doing here real quick. The second reason I'm here is that the girls and women whose lives Jeffrey Epstein destroyed deserve not only justice but healing. They've been waiting for too long for both. Though my brief acquaintance with Epstein in thousands of meetings, through my brief acquaintance where I met him once and shook his hand at a train station, through my brief acquaintance with the Epstein's ended years before its crimes came to light, and though the Democratic Party fought to cover him up so well, we failed. And though I never witnessed during our limited interactions at the Secret Island or the hundreds of meetings and all over the planes and flying around the world with other known pedophiles with him,
Let me see, I'm just adding the truth here. Back to the real thing.
Through my brief acquaintance with Epstein ended years before his crimes came to light, and though I never witnessed during our limited interactions an indication of what was truly going on, you made Hillary come in. She had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. Nothing. Sure, she goes to witches' conferences and guzzles adrenochrome, but that's all right. Sorry. But before we start, I have to get personal. You made Hillary come in. She had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. Nothing. I did not have sex with that woman either, or give missile secrets to China, though I did. Since I'm under oath, I will not falsely state that I am looking forward to your questions, but I am ready to answer them to the best of my abilities, consistent with the facts as I know them, the legitimate, logical, and even the outlandish. With that, Mr. Chairman, fire away. And please, any of you have any cocaine or adrenochrome, thank you.
And that was just the sizzler. This is the full statement right now, exclusive to InfoWars.com.
Bill Clinton just put out his opening statement to Congress. Again, it's closed door, but they're allowing reporters in, and we have a written statement by Bill Clinton. And it's exactly what you would expect. I did not have sex with that woman. I don't know even who she is. This is ridiculous, okay? I don't even know what cocaine is. I have no idea what you're talking about. Never been to that island. I don't know that guy. That's crazy. Yeah. Bill Clinton just dropped his opening statement to Congress on Epstein. I saw nothing and I did nothing wrong. These are quotes. I had no idea the crimes Epstein was committing. By the time he was 2008 guilty plea came to light, I had long stopped associating with him. It's not true. They set up the Clinton Foundation. I mean, right after that, she was at the wedding, just like Maxwell. I'm not bound by my oath to speculate or guess 24 years later. Defense Hillary, quote, she had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein, never visited any of his properties. Like, I did his island. Oh, God. Oh, boy. Did not nurse. He didn't say that. He did say she had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein, never visited any of his properties. His swearing under oath that he knew Zillick and cut ties early. Now, that's a shocker. So, here's the full statement. You mean to read this in Clinton's voice? President Clinton's opening statement to the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Good morning. Welcome to Chappaquiddick.
Yeah, they went to him, just like with Les Wexner.
I'm here today for two reasons. The first is I love my country, and America was built upon the idea that no person is above the law, even presidents, especially presidents.
Yeah, their whole new spin is they want Trump now to be before the committee.
Democracy requires every person to play their part, and I hope that by being here today, we can bring ourselves a little further away from the brink and back to being a country where we can disagree with one another civilly while my surrogates viciously attack and burn down the country and we try to cut your son's penises off. Sorry, he didn't say that. He didn't say this. Democracy requires we put fentanyl on the streets and fluoride in your water. David Rockefeller, I love you.
Sorry. Back to what you said.
Democracy requires every person to play their part. And I hope that shipping drugs into mean Arkansas and killing all those kids was a good thing. I don't want to love Satan. Oh, hell, Satan. Sorry.
I'm going to stop now. I'm actually really sad.
Democracy requires every person to play their part. And I hope by being here today, we can bring ourselves a little further away from the brink and back to being a country where we can disagree with one another civilly, where the search for truth and justice outweighs the partisan urge to score points and create a spectacle. I'll do my part, and I hope you'll do yours. Oh, yeah. Well, my surrogates burn everything down and literally say white people are evil and America must die. Yeah. And their emails and WikiLeaks say we were going to create a race war. Oh, we love you. Oh, we're liberal. Oh, God. The second reason I'm here is that the girls and women's who lives Jeffrey Epstein destroyed deserve not only justice, but healing.
Oh, you mean to try to get right in there? Okay. This isn't really funny, but I'm...
Epstein ended years before.
Here we go. The second reason I'm here is that the girls and women that I was unable to rape, and I'm sorry they were able to escape, but the children I ate were delicious. Sorry, he didn't say that. He didn't say this. The second reason I'm here is for the cocaine. I know you guys got a lot of it. I heard Hunter might be here later. Sorry. This is actually him.
Stop it, Jones.
Got a little cocaine booger up there. Mmm, tasty one out there. Mmm, that one good for you. I love David Rockefeller. I love Bill Gates. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, buddy boy. Oh, this is better than a Big Mac. Let me get back to this work I'm doing here real quick. The second reason I'm here is that the girls and women who... lives Jeffrey Epstein destroyed deserve not only justice but healing. They've been waiting for too long for both. Though my brief acquaintance with Epstein in thousands of meetings, sorry, through my brief acquaintance where I met him once and shook his hand at a train station, I'm sorry, through my brief acquaintance with the Epsteins ended years before its crimes came to light. And though the Democratic Party fought to cover him up so well, we failed. No, sorry. And though I never witnessed during our limited interactions at the secret island or the hundreds of meetings and all over the planes and flying around the world with other known pedophiles with him. Sorry. Let me see. I'm just adding the truth here. Back to the real thing. Through my brief acquaintance with Epstein ended years before his crimes came to light. And though I never witnessed during our limited interactions an indication of what was truly going on, I am here to offer what little I know so that it might prevent anything like this from ever happening before. Sure. But before we start, I need a little more cocaine. But before we start, I have to get personal. See, this like I was telling you, I'm personal. I'm a real person. You made Hillary come in. She had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. No, that's right. Hillary never did nothing wrong. I came, I saw, he died. But before we start, I have to get personal with my beard, Hillary. You made Hillary come in. She had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. Nothing. Sure, she goes to witches' conferences and guzzles adrenochrome, but that's all right. Sorry. But before we start, I have to get personal. You made Hillary come in. She had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. Nothing. I did not have sex with that woman either, or give missile secrets to China, though I did. All right, I'm stopping now. The real statement's up there, but most of this is real. I'm just making jokes about each piece of it, or just really filling in the truth. She had nothing to do with Epstein. Nothing. She has no memory or even meeting him. She neither traveled with him nor visited any of his properties, whether you subpoenaed 10 people or 10,000, including her, was simply not right. Oh, my goodness. Including her was not right. As you guys never had sex. Webster Hubble had your horse-faced daughter, Mr. Ed 2.0. It's not a beard that he's gay. It's a beard that it's like it's a political marriage. We began this hearing with me raising my hand and taking an oath to tell the truth. But everyone has responsibility to be honest with those they represent. I represent Satan, so I'm going to lie to you. Whether you raise your right hand or not, each and every one of us owes nothing less than truth and accuracy to the American people, my sworn enemy, hail Satan. And it just goes on from there. Here's the really good part. Now let me say what you're going to hear from me. First, I had no idea of the crimes Epstein was committing. No matter how many photos you show me, I have two things that at the end of the day matter more than your interrogation of those 20-year-old photos. I know what I saw, and more importantly, what I did see. I know what I did, and more importantly, what I didn't do, and I'm also a known certified congenital liar. I saw nothing. I did nothing wrong. This is unbelievable. Trouble, Bubba. But even with 2020 hindsight, as someone who grew up in a home with domestic abuse, oh, she's a victim, not only would I not have flown on his plane if I had any link or what he was doing, I would have turned him in myself and led the call for justice for the crimes. Not a sweetheart deal. But even with 2020 hindsight, I saw nothing that ever gave me pause. We are only here because he hid it from everyone so well for so long. And by the time it came to light with his 2008 guilty plea, I had long stopped associating with him. He's going to be caught in the lines. He sent thousands of emails about delivering sex slaves and to all the politicians and people. Yeah, Clinton, no one knew anything. What did McCain's wife say? Oh, we all knew forever he was doing it. You often hear me say that I don't recall. That might be unsatisfying, but I am not going to say something if I'm not sure. This was a long time ago, and I am bound by my oath not to speculate or to guess. This is not merely for my benefit, but because it doesn't help you for me to play detective 24 years later. Since I'm under oath, I will not falsely state that I am looking forward to your questions, but I am ready to answer them to the best of my abilities, consistent with the facts as I know them, the legitimate, logical, and even the outlandish. With that, Mr. Chairman, fire away. And please, any of you have any cocaine or adrenochrome, thank you. So there you go. We didn't plan that. They just pulled up that head. Who used to do that? Conan O'Brien? Or they like put the thing on screen? You know, it's not funny. I shouldn't even be laughing about it. These people are completely full of crap. At a level never before seen.
That was all done live today, by the way. All done live. That's how we do it here at InfoWars. You know, where I akin us to being jazz musicians. You can check that out. Exclusive leaked video leaked of Bill Clinton's Jeffrey Epstein congressional testimony as read by Alex Jones. It's going viral on X. Pass it around. And don't forget, everything we do here is supported by the alexjonesstore.com. And don't forget, Monday, March 2nd, so you got through the weekend to buy Ultimate Creatine Powder, and you get the CMOS gummies or Shilajit gummies for free. That's right, folks. I mean, the creatine's amazing, not only helping your muscles, but also helping your brain. My second son is taking creatine all the time, and he said it's totally helped him in school and everything, so it's boosting his brain power. It can boost yours too. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com and you get a free CMOS gummies or Shilajit gummies for free. Ultimate creatine powder. It's foundational. It's everything. Everything you need to get your body and your mind going. And plus 25% off apparel. That also ends Wednesday at March 4th. So 25% off apparel. And then you got buy one, get one free, ends Monday, March 2nd of Ultimate Creatine Powder, and get your CMOS gummies or Shilajit gummies for free. It supports everything we do here. And we'll be right back after this short break. Thank you for watching and participating. Be sure you spread those links. You're watching The War Room.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, the depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high quality Shilajit, you get either or, you choose, absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight, and it funds the operation. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, T-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of T-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff. Classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. It takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Doom. You know, Epstein is the news gift that keeps on giving, because the more they try to just say there's nothing to see here, the more we keep finding. Like this, for instance, you know, we just played Bill Clinton reading his statement on the air. We had exclusive video of that. It's pretty eye-opening, I thought, especially with all the asides he kept making while he was trying to concentrate on his statement, but then he kept revealing the truth about what he really is. This is from an O'Keefe report. O'Keefe Media Group, OMG, he released this in September of 2025, and this was a DOJ investigator revealing that Epstein was CIA and confirmed rapes occurred while Bill Clinton was on the plane. But, you know, he didn't know anything. He didn't know. He doesn't know what. I did not have rapes with that woman. So here he is. This is the O'Keefe clip. This is just a short clip. We may play the full investigation later, but this is just 40 seconds of it. Here's clip five.
It's not talked about yet, but it soon come out that he was a CIA informant.
He was a CIA.
I think he's protecting a lot of other people. He's not protecting himself because there's nothing there, but he's protecting a lot of people.
Because Trump's now saying it's a hoax of the case, like a hoax or something. I mean, come on, you know it's not a hoax. He's been on the plane, you know, many times. Mm-hmm. It's just he was never on the plane with the kids.
I've seen the itineraries, and I've interviewed all of the victims. There's never been an instance where Trump was on a plane with these kids and a rape occurred. But that can't be said for Clinton, and it can't be said for others. While the Clintons were on the plane, while Bill Clinton was on the plane, there were rapes that occurred.
That's interesting. He says, while the Clintons were, back up so we can read that little text there. He said, while the Clintons were on the plane. So that would, see, while the Clintons were on the plane, while Bill Clinton was on the plane, there were rapes that occurred. So that would lead me to believe that Hillary Clinton was possibly on there. Or maybe it was just Chelsea. Maybe Chelsea and Bill were enjoying a tasty morsel on the plane without Hillary. Maybe Hillary is complete. Maybe she's an innocent dolphin and we've gotten her all wrong. I think it was it Hillary that said if Trump gets in, we're all going to hang? Or was that her chief of staff? So, you know, Clinton says she never met Jeffrey Epstein. She speaks to the press. We haven't seen Bill come out yet, but we do have a stream right there, and it looks like a door keeps opening and closing. So we may run to that. Meanwhile, Trump has flown to Texas. He did some answered some questions with Ted Cruz about energy policy. Which, what's that? Do you have it? Okay, we don't have it yet. We're working on grabbing that. We saw it come out live. There's also, it looks like there's going to be a Trump rally. Let's just show people the Trump rally real quick. There's a large group of people out there. It looks like in the Corpus Christi, Houston area, right on the coast. If you ever go down to the coast of Houston, you see those big white cylinders. That's just full of crude oil and other chemicals and stuff. And then we got the giant barges and, you know, it looks like a couple barges there. Big bridge in the background, and you know people are going to be lining up to see Trump. Seems like he's going to do another type of rally, like a small rally, short rally. But you can still see people still are interested in seeing the president. People are happy with what he's doing. I mean, he's probably brought a lot of jobs to the Houston area, especially with the energy sector. So that should be interesting to see. Let's go to this one. This is finishing up on Bill Clinton. This is Representative Luna going into a little more in depth on Bill Clinton and not just how, you know, it was a honeypot operation, but, you know, she goes in a little more detail about the intelligence gathering that was going on. Here it is.
What I will say is it has become very evident, even in the last 24 hours in lines of questioning, that Jeffrey Epstein was running a intelligence gathering operation. In my professional opinion, I do believe it was a honeypot operation. And I do believe that there's a list of individuals who did engage in trafficking, were given these plea deals, and I'm going to name those individuals right now. The first one would be Leslie Groff. The second one, Sarah Kellen. The third one, Nadia Markova. And the fourth one, Adriana Ross. All of these women engaged in the trafficking of minors as adults. They were working and complicit with Jeffrey Epstein's operation. And in my opinion, they are not to be given victim status because they did partake in harming young girls. I remember seeing in some of the files, some of these girls were, you know, as young as 10, 11 years old and older. And so obviously we have a lot of work to do, but I did want to come and give an update and let you know that President Clinton, as of right now, is cooperative and answering all of our questions. And that it leads me to believe that if we can remove the partisan nature of this investigation, we actually might be able to get justice. And so I will be calling on the Oversight Committee to bring in those four individuals that I just listed. We will continue to conduct the investigation and provide updates shortly for all of you.
What has the on behalf of the
board? It is in my opinion, I don't think the opinion of the committee, but I do believe that Jeffrey Epstein was targeting many politicians, many influential people, especially in regards to economic policy, et cetera. And I do believe that it was possible that not just him, but likely Secretary Clinton, as well as a number of other people were targeted due to an intelligence gathering operation. I think the American people will agree with me on that. But again, I don't want to get into too much of the specifics of the deposition, and I will be able to tell you at least once this is over, and we will be also trying to release those recordings from Secretary's deposition yesterday, as well as President Clinton's as soon as possible. Thank you, guys.
So that was Representative Luna kind of expounding on what she said earlier. Meanwhile, Kushner and I think it was Steve Witkoff were in our meeting in Geneva with Iran. It seems like those talks have broken down. We've got on Infowars.com, Iran rejects U.S. excessive demands, but next talk scheduled for Wednesday, which is good. So we probably won't have any attacks over the weekend, which means everybody can, you know, probably have a normal weekend, but then next week sometime, it's probably going to kick off at some point. Trump said a week ago that Tehran had 2 weeks to agree to Washington's terms, and so the clock is ticking as the huge American military buildup in the region continues. And don't forget, we have, and this might also be a stalling technique, because we had that carrier, aircraft carrier, the Gerald Ford, that had had some issues with their toilets. And there's some rumors out there that it was intentionally clogged by sailors because they didn't want to fight, which I could see that, you know, they're kind of sitting ducks out there for those missiles. They're definitely in range of lots of missiles, and they're probably wondering, you know, why are we going to war with these people again? Didn't the White House put out the White House released this, and the cover sheet was Iran's nuclear capabilities have been totally destroyed. And that was last year. So they already rebuilt them. I mean, that's what they said. They said they were totally destroyed. Meanwhile, Afghanistan Taliban government at war with nuclear-armed Pakistan. Pakistan-Afghanistan exchanged military strikes along the border Friday morning in a conflict that began to intensify in October. Last rock Kabul and several other regions as Islamabad launched Operation Ghazib-il-Haq, the Wrath of Justice, following Afghanistan carrying out attacks on Pakistan military positions hours earlier, in which two Pakistani soldiers were killed and three others were wounded. The spokesperson for the Pakistani prime minister said Islamabad killed dozens of Afghan fighters and destroyed several of their military posts and armored vehicles as a retaliatory response, but Afghanistan tells a different story. They said their initial attack was in retaliation for Pakistan air raids last week. You know, it's interesting because you got Afghanistan, Pakistan, and then India. And Pakistan looks like Indians and Afghanis kind of bred together because they're kind of like a lighter shade of Indian. And it's funny, you know, they talk about America being racist, and here you got three groups that pretty much look exactly the same, worship Muhammad, and none of them can get along. It's always funny how, you know, you have people say the United States is so racist, and here you got like just three groups of people that can't get along together. And don't get me started on the caste system. The cowardly Pakistan military has carried out airstrikes in certain areas of Kabul, Kandahar, and Patika. Fortunately, there have been no reported casualties, Taliban government spokesperson said. So there are tweets about that. Now, we do have a video of Trump earlier with Ted Cruz taking questions. I haven't watched this. I haven't reviewed it. So we'll watch and analyze together. Here it is.
Pretty much, yeah. No, not yet. Well, I don't want to discuss that. Is everybody having a good time? Do you know how big this is? Millions and millions of barrels of oil are pouring right in here. It's a great thing. No, the relationship with Venezuela has been amazing.
Do you have a message for Iran?
Well, they should make a deal, but they don't want to quite go far enough, and it's too bad. Look, we've been playing with them for 47 years, and that's a long time. They've been blowing the legs off our people, blowing the face off our people, the arms. They've been knocking out ships one by one. But every month there's something else, so you can't put up with it too long. We're not happy with the negotiation. They just don't want to say the key words, we're not going to have a nuclear weapon. They have to say, we're not going to have a nuclear weapon. And they just can't quite get there. They want to enrich a little bit. You don't have to enrich when you have that much oil. So I'm not happy with the negotiation.
Mr. President,
I say no enrichment. Not 20%, 30%. They always want 20%, 30%. They want it for civilian, you know, for civil. I think it's uncivil. So I'm not happy with it, though.
How close are you to making a decision on strikes?
I'd rather not tell you. You would have had the greatest scoop in history, right? You know?
Trump, tell us all your plans. What you're going to do quickly.
Well, they're going. I mean, we're negotiating right now, but they're not getting to the right answer. And we're not going to see people. We're not going to see what's happened for 47 years keep going. 47 years we've been doing this with them. The Obama deal was the worst deal. Nobody ever saw a deal so stupid. Right now, if you did the Obama deal, if that held, if I didn't terminate it, Iran would have a nuclear weapon, and it would be a whole different ballgame. That Obama deal was one of the worst, one of the dumbest deals I've ever seen.
Yep.
First of all, it was very short term. It would long be over. You know that. Would be not. I terminated it. But if I didn't, it would be over by now anyway. But the Obama deal, what he did was one of the dumber deals. I've seen a lot of dumb deals. That would be one of the dumber deals.
Are you concerned that striking Iran might raise oil prices, which could affect your economic agenda?
I'm not concerned. No. I'm concerned about people's lives. I'm concerned about long-term health for this country. That's what I'm concerned about.
The vice president,
yeah, he did. I can't tell you that.
Is there any progress?
I can't tell you that. I can't tell you. But I do like... Come here. Do you want to see something nice? Come here. Look at that.
Big, beautiful oil.
Right out of Venezuela. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you, everybody.
And what he's referring to is we've seized a few ships through court order, by the way. People are like, oh, we're just seizing ships. No, there's a court order because they're violating some sanction, which allows us to go through and then seize these ships because they're breaking the sanctions we've imposed. And I'm not positive if it's oil coming from Venezuela, if it's leaving Venezuela going to Iran or other countries, or if it's coming from Iran to Venezuela to be refined. But I do know that Venezuela has very thick crude, and the places on the Gulf Coast are very open to doing that thick crude oil. I used to live over near a bunch of refineries in southwestern Louisiana. And that's what they do. I mean, there's you chemical plants, you work at the casino, or you go to college there, and there's not much else. Sort of like a third world state, that part. But everybody has a job. And so, you know, there's not a lot of unemployment, not a lot of homeless walking around because there's a job if you want one. Oh, today, actually, it was, with all this Iran news, the ambassador Huckabee, one of the greatest bass players of all time, put out the evacuation order for embassy staff in Israel, non-essential embassy staff. So, they begun evacuating non-emergency personnel from the embassy in Israel and their family members, citing safety risks amid growing tensions with Iran. The new urgent announcement also strongly suggests that whatever military action ensues, it will most likely involve a joint operation between the U.S. and Israel. Some have warned that Washington is essentially about to go to war on behalf of what are fundamentally Israel's interests in the region. People in Israel would further be at risk, given the potential for Hezbollah to renew strikes on the country's north, and then their threats of Houthi attacks from the south, as what happened in the last conflict in June. Fox News correspondent Lucas Thomas noted that the last time the embassy issued such an evacuation order, it occurred just 8 days before Operation Midnight Hammer. So if we're today, it's Friday, then you're looking at next Saturday to be a strike, or next Friday a strike, depending on the time difference. Because he might have put this out on Thursday. Or no, he said announced Friday, so... So there's that. So we could have something by next week. You know, Trump said 2 weeks. You know what happens with 2 weeks? Usually means two more weeks. Guys, see if you can grab this video. This was Salt from Salt and Peppa. You might Remember them from the 80s, our 90s hip-hop group, Salt and Pepper. They also had one of their members, she died, I think, at a car wreck in South or Central America. She was going on some trip looking for different cures with all the herbs and, I don't know, plants that grow down there. She was on alternative health stuff in the 90s, and I think she, or maybe in the early 2000s, she died. I remember when that happened. It was sad. But Salt and Pepper, rapper Salt, sounds the alarm about the Satanic Elite, New World Order, and Mark of the Beast system being forced on humanity. Cheryl James, also known as Salt, from the 1990s hip-hop trio Salt and Pepper. I remember them from the 80s, but maybe they became big in the 90s. Exposed the Satanic and Luciferian elites who run the world in a viral social media post this week. They own the government, politics, Democrats, Republicans, the court system, the education system, the banks, the Federal Reserve, real estate, farms, Hollywood. What we watch, the music we listen to, what we believe, sports, big pharma, everything. So why is she coming out now? Let's see what she has to say, and then maybe we'll talk about that, why she's coming out. Here it is.
Hey, y'all. So the cat's out the bag. I've been studying this type of thing for years, but you can't really talk about it because people will think that you're crazy. So now we know Satanists and Luciferians run the world. Second Corinthians, it describes that Satan is the god of this world. They own the government, politics, Democrats and Republicans, the court system, the education system, the banks, the Federal Reserve, real estate, farms, Hollywood, what we watch, music, what we listen to, media, what we believe, sports, big pharma, everything. We pay their taxes, we work their jobs, we buy their houses. We don't own anything, really, because even if we paid for a house outright, if we miss paying taxes one time, they can take the home. We've been pitted against each other like crazy forever. Black versus white, rich versus poor, men versus women, Democrats versus Republicans, Muslims against Christians. We fight over narratives that they've created to keep us divided while they're doing whatever they want. Hunting, killing, sexually assaulting, sacrificing, torturing, cannibalizing, yes, cannibalizing, and organ harvesting our children. Grooming them and over-sexualizing them, teaching them inappropriate things in school. They start wars and they tell us it's this country or that country, or it's this religion who's our enemy. And our kids go to war to defend lies. They fund both sides of the war and make billions of dollars while our family members are sacrificed. We have been bamboozled beyond our wildest dreams. Everything we've been fed is a lie. So what do we do? If you're like me, like, okay, we got the information, but what do? We can't impeach the president because that's up to Congress. The only power we have is our dollars, our prayers, and our voices. Some people will laugh at that, but when it comes to their God, they're on their job. They pray to their God. They worship him. They murder, assault children, make blood sacrifices. They are very dedicated to making sure their God is pleased with them. We can stop feeding the beast with our dollars. When things are exposed, we can stop giving them our money. I'm not telling you who you should buy from or where to spend your money, but I do encourage you to investigate the companies you patronize. Find out who they are, what their practices are, what their beliefs are. I know we love certain brands, but do we know their history? Who owns your bank? Is there another place that you can put your money? Because if they decide, they can close the banks whenever they want, or they can freeze our accounts if we don't comply with their narrative. They're purposely poisoning our water, air, and food. So support your local farmers if you have access. I know everyone doesn't have access. I understand that. Buy fresh, real food. Buy land if you can. Grow food if that's in your heart. Even this information we've been exposed to, I think it's designed to see what we will do. This information can make us feel helpless and depressed and even more complacent, giving them even more control to usher in their new world order, their one world government, one currency, one world dictatorship where we have no rights at all. So we can refuse digital ID. We can support smaller venues. We can spread and share information. If we can, we can homeschool our children. Support local farmers. It's healthier. It's cleaner. Get back to eating whole foods. If you can, try and go direct to consumer. And according to Revelation, yes, we are being led to a choice, right? It talks about the mark of the beast in Revelation 13, 16 through 17. You can read it for yourself, but that's basically where this is all headed, and it's unfolding right in front of us. There'll be a time that we won't be able to buy or sell unless we take the mark. Can you imagine one world government, one religion, one currency, total dictatorship, total control? Let's do what we can. Spread information, and God bless you guys.
Now, imagine if Salt and Pepper were rapping about that in the 90s. I mean, can you imagine the heads that would have exploded? And there would have still been people going, yeah, she's right. She's right. So, and I posted this. I was on the American Journal earlier this week, and we did a whole expose on the glyphosate and how they don't even use it anymore to kill weeds. It's basically sprayed on the wheat before they harvest it, so to help it dry out so it doesn't rot. Because, you know, before 2006, we never had wheat. For the thousands of years of agriculture, we didn't have wheat. We had no way to dry it until, thank God, Big Pharma came along and gave us glyphosate to spray on it. Well, I plugged this place. I'm going to plug them now here, too. OvenFreshDelivery.com. You order it. They send it to you. Glyphosate-free bread right there. So don't put this poison into your body. And that's what Salt was telling you. Don't put the poison into your body. Find some alternatives. Also, there's the web app, WEBB app, on the App Store. You can look and see who really owns the companies that you're buying from. Because sometimes you think it says, oh, it says Oven Fresh Made Daily, you know, and it's actually some giant conglomerate. But there's ovenfreshdelivery.com. They make granola. They have sprouted stuff. No sugar, no fiber. I like this. Here, come to this, guys, right here. So we got... it's sesame free. I'll move that way. Sesame free, dairy free, nut free, but it's got coconut oil, glyphosate free, organic, egg free. But this is what I love the best. Soy free. No, I like this the best. Certified delicious. There it is. Certified delicious right there. I don't know where you get that certification, but there it is. Certified delicious. I'm trying them out. And you know, stop taking this poison. Stop putting this poison in your body and in the body of your children. You know, Brianna had, it was yesterday, a farmer on. And that's a good story. You guys might want to play. It's like a 4-minute video. Maybe we'll play that at the top of the hour if y'all can find it. It's a farmer who has 15 tumors in his head, been messing with glyphosate since he was a little boy with his granddad. Had skin cancer, got rid of that. Then he falls down one day. Oh, he's got 15 tumors. You know? And what's he's spreading the word. So spread the word. Oh, well, y'all didn't put it up on screen. That's not my fault. I heard web, W-E-B-B. Yeah, so you got to put it up on screen. And then see, there's no title. That's Ian Carroll's app that tells you where you can find certain foods and who's really behind them.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at TheologyShowStore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. .com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I sat out when our sponsors said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff. classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Alex Jones.
How would you describe him?
He's a hugely influential conspiracy theorist.
His ravings are untethered from reality.
It's a nasty piece of work, but I think he's also a deflating windbag.
He's not right in the head.
I'm very pro-free speech, and the word dangerous is used far too liberally. In his case, I think it's actually justified.
Yeah. Could he be a threat to American democracy?
Everyone thinks he's a crazy motherfucker, and they never heard him talk. They think he's just nuts. And he is crazy, he is. But you gotta be crazy to stand in front of the world and put your ass on the line and say the things he's saying. So you gotta be a little crazy. It's like a rock star, like Axl Rose. Oh, he's crazy. Yeah, he's Axl fucking Rose.
There is a war for your mind.
Information is to unlock.
Information war.
I come to you with a spring in my step, a song in my heart, emotionally and spiritually refreshed, because you know how, as humans, we have to accept the fact that sometimes bad things happen to good people? Well, by the grace of God, sometimes bad things happen to Alex Jones.
That's a good thing.
The despicable and ridiculous Alex Jones
deserves every minute of torture.
I don't like giving people like Alex Jones a platform, but what do? He's out there.
Tucker Carlson continues to fawn over Jones, calling him
one of the most important truth tellers in America today.
What does it mean for the future of InfoWars?
InfoWars.com.
This is InfoWars, right?
I think everybody wants to know, will
he be shut down?
This verdict shuts down Alex Jones? Good. I guess the good guys just won the InfoWars.
He is the number one threat to these people.
Take the bullhorn away.
You know, kicked us off the internet, tried to ban our IP, got banks to cancel us, lawsuits, censorship, investigations from the FBI. I mean, everything has been thrown at us.
Take him out. Make certain he can't rebuild the platform.
That's what matters.
I hope that we never see someone like him again.
InfoWars.com lives. People can come to my show every day, 11 a.m. Central, and they can hear what I'm actually saying, Piers, versus what you're trying to put in my mouth.
You got God's warriors coming together like the SWAT team of free thought.
It has become more than ever a litmus test as to whether you get what's going on in the world or not.
This is InfoWars, right?
If you don't get what Alex Jones represents, if you can't recognize that Alex Jones is the real deal, you don't get anything.
We're going to give this information on InfoWars.
So no concept of the wider perspective here. If you still can't see through the lies that are telling you that Alex Jones is somehow not who he says he is, you still can't get it.
We've been fighting this battle for a long time, Alex, and we just got to salute you as a Christian and as American, because you paved the way to make braver soldiers like us today.
This is about good versus evil and God fighting the devil. You got to pick a side now.
InfoWarriors.
All we ever do is promote human freedom of every race, color, and creed. Our message is really imperative for everyone to understand, like, this is the way out. It's about understanding that every single human being has a right to live their life the way they want, unmolested and uncontrolled by those with more power than them. So no matter what they say about us, no matter how they want to portray us, just know that InfoWars really represents something totally unique, totally special, and an existential threat to the most vicious, evil, totalitarian, and importantly, miserable people on the earth. Who is the number one player in all of this? Who is the number one symbol of alternative media and, you know, internet content?
It is the legend that is Alex Jones, and you were fighting on the front line, and now we're here with you. You got some other superheroes, part of the Avenger movie, fighting for Christ and free speech.
Folks,
We really are going to save this country, and we really are going to save this planet.
On InfoWars, think about that for a second.
They're going to remember Alex Jones. They're going to remember InfoWars.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store.
No spin, no surrender. This is Harrison Smith on the War Room with live streams firing on X and Band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, this is the War Room, and I am your host, Harrison Smith. Thank you so much to Rob Dew for sitting in for the first hour on late notice. I have a good excuse, though. I have a very good excuse. I have a doctor's note and everything. See, what happened was yesterday, I was doing some yard work, and I woke up this morning covered in poison ivy rashes, and I'm, like, insanely allergic to poison ivy, so spent the morning in various and, frankly, frustrating urgent care clinics, just desperately trying to get a shot of steroids. Because if you poison ivy is one of these weird things where the more you get it, the worse it gets. And so I've had it so much in my life that now if I get it, I will, like, literally die. So the thing is, my excuse, though, is that poison ivy is supposed to be a hot weather thing, right? It only really comes around in the summer. I wasn't even thinking about it, because it was all supposed to die during the winter. So I guess, long story short, it's climate change. Obviously, climate change is the reason I was late to the show today, so you can't blame me. You do have to pay the government a bunch of money, and next time I'll be on time. Okay, that's how this works, and that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. So, yeah, thank you very much for Rob Dew for filling in for me for this hour. And, of course, that is the beauty of InfoWars, when one of us has problems when one of us is an idiot and gets himself covered in poison ivy, then there's somebody else that can fill in. And of course take it down to me. Actually, wait, leave it up. This is what you people need to know. Avoid this stuff like the plague. Gets worse and worse every time you get it. I was attacked by a plant, and that's why I had to be here. But you know, it's not a small thing, this system that we have in the various forms of, you know, fallback measures. Poison ivy is a native Texas plant. Oh, I know. No, I'm very aware. And actually, deer eat poison ivy. So the bigger the deer population, the lower the poison ivy population. Also, if it's burned, it creates a choking smoke that can be used, you know, if you're, I don't know, in some sort of Civil War scenario, you should know these types of things. I also had a science teacher in high school who was not allergic, but his family was, and so he deliberately kept one of his sheds covered in poison ivy, because then he was the only one that could go in it. Anyway, I'm rambling, but there's a lot of big news happening today. Still I feel like we've just been teetering on the edge. My nemesis there. I am Batman, after all. Teetering on the edge of all-out war with Iran, of course, is still not exactly explained any great degree, but the U.S. obviously is evacuating some embassy staff, with the ambassador Mike Huckabee telling everybody in, all the Americans in Israel, get out while you can, which is a little bit terrifying. And that, of course, is sort of a major topic of conversation today. But the good news about my inability to actually prepare for the show today means that I get to go back over the last week of stories that I haven't had a chance to get to. Because every day, despite having 3 hours to report the news, you would think that would be enough to make a dent, but it's not usually. And I'll get these stories, and it's like a one-off story, and I don't quite have the time to just fit it in with all the other coverage. But they stack up, they build up, and then eventually they reach critical mass, and it's time to report them all to you. And so we'll do that here. And this week, there's been a number of stories or a number of events of left-wing attacks, left-wing violence. And it's just one of these things that it just kind of quietly occurs. It just kind of is happening in the background. And this is our fault, really. And it's the mainstream media's fault. We've talked about it over and over. I don't need to, you know, relitigate it. But the idea that the media can determine whether or not things are perceived as patterns, perceived as trends, perceived as a phenomenon that has to be dealt with, or if all of these various events are treated as individual instances with no connection to any other ones, and there's certainly no trend to notice. It's just one crazy guy and another crazy guy. Nothing to, you know, nothing between them. And so they're very, very good at this. And so they will report on these events. They just don't connect the dots, and they don't portray it as, oh, look, yet another example of leftist violence, transgender violence, whatever it is. It'll just be quietly, you know, okay, this event happened over here, and that was pretty bad, but, you know, let's not read too much into it. And also, this thing happened over here, and, okay, they're kind of similar, but still, you know, let's not look too much into that. Well, we're going to draw those lines together. We're going to connect those dots and see if we can't identify what the hell is actually happening here. This one is sort of just went away. Like, there's so many stories now that, like, it's almost like they test them, and then if it doesn't catch on, they just sort of pretend it didn't happen. Do you remember, like, 2 weeks ago? The story is, supposedly, according to the mainstream media, supposedly, about 2 weeks ago, if my memory serves me correctly, Ilhan Omar was viciously attacked with a chemical weapon at one of her events by a deranged Trump supporter. You remember how they tried to get that narrative going? What happened to that? Where'd that go? That was a story for about 20 minutes until everybody noticed this is utterly fake. There's no way this is real. This must be staged. But that's not where the story should end. No, now the story should take on a new shape of investigating Ilhan Omar and figuring out who helped her plan this scam attack, this fake attack that was obviously designed to distract from the scandal that she's in with all of her many millions of dollars illegitimately gained from the U.S. taxpayers. On the eve that it's discovered that she has, like, these companies that don't actually exist and tens of millions of dollars that she's never actually earned sitting in her bank account, all of a sudden she's attacked by a Trump supporter, and then, like, 2 days later it's just out of the news. It's because it was fake. It's because it wasn't real. It's because it was planned and probably plotted by her. So that needs to be the story now. This shouldn't go away. This should become a giant scandal where Ilhan Omar is hounded and demanded that she answer how long she's known this guy and, you know, how aware she was of exactly what the plot contained. Because you remember, I mean, it didn't take a genius. It didn't take somebody with insider knowledge. It didn't take some massive investigation. Just basic observation of the event should have led anybody to the conclusion that, yeah, this was entirely fraudulent, totally fake. But that's just sort of gone away. It's just sort of, you know, was there and they tried it. You know, they gave it a push. Oh, you got attacked by a Trump supporter. Do you believe us? And I was like, no. And they're like, okay, never mind then. Never mind. I mean, if we'd believed it, if it had been more convincing, it would still be a thing. They'd be writing laws about it. She would be, you know, crying on The View or whatever. But it didn't work. So they just sort of let it go, let it fall to the wayside. Similar sort of story with an armed guy trying to sneak into Mar-a-Lago to kill the president and being shot dead by the Secret Service. Remember how that just sort of went away? That sort of cropped up and then disappeared. It's like, that, okay, what? That is a giant deal, actually. Bizarre texts reveal gun-wielding man, 21, who broke into Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort, quote, was obsessed with the Epstein files. Yeah, he's obsessed with the stochastic terrorism of the left, claiming that Donald Trump is the only one in the Epstein files, and that it's all his fault, and that you should do something about it. And he goes to do something about it, ends up getting his ass killed because he pointed a shotgun at police. But that's just, so that one didn't work. So it's again sort of an instance of like, all right, well, it is leftist violence. It was sort of a assassination attempt. It just didn't work. It didn't get very far. Trump wasn't even there. But they still tried. But they did still try, you know. And so I'm going to go ahead and put that in the, you know, column of leftist terror, right-wing anti-Trump terror attacks. Yeah, that's one of them. Doesn't mean, you know, that nobody has to die for it to be real. And the guy is, you know, carrying explosives and a shotgun and trying to break into Mar-a-Lago and gets killed for it. So that happened. When did that? 23rd. The 23rd of February. That was Tuesday, wasn't it? Do we even remember? Like, I'd forgotten about it until I saw it again. But yeah, remember that happened? Somebody tried to kill the president on Tuesday. Suspect in ramming vehicle ramming stolen ambulance into Idaho DHS building has been identified as an LGBTQ activist. An Idaho woman has been taken into custody and charged in connection with an alleged attempt to burn down a Department of Homeland Security facility after crashing an ambulance into the structure, police have said. Sarah Elizabeth George, 43, of Boise, is accused of stealing an ambulance parked outside St. Luke's Meridian late on February 18th and running it into a DHS building. According to federal criminal complaints, George allegedly drove the emergency vehicle into the entrance of the Portico North building around 11 p.m., spread gasoline throughout the lobby in an attempt to set it on fire, and then fled the area on foot. And it's just like, why wasn't this a national story? What, like, can you imagine if it was the other way around? Can you imagine if some radical MAGA person stole an ambulance and drove it into a Planned Parenthood and tried to set it on fire? It would, again, be stories for a week. Like, why don't conservatives talk about this stuff? Why don't they, like, write laws about this? Why don't they keep note of these and keep track of these and notice that there is an alarming trend of, like, every day some radical leftist going insane and either killing their family or trying to kill Trump or killing a bunch of people at a, you know, ice skating rink in Canada. The transgender crime wave continues unnoticed, apparently, except for people like us. Like, where are the Republicans out there giving speeches going, there is a dangerous trend of leftist violence that's only getting worse and we have to do something about this? Because you have to do something about it, you understand? They're only getting more extreme. It's only happening on a more regular basis, these attacks. I mean, this one, it's like straight up out of a, I don't know, Twilight Zone episode or like, I don't know, old sci-fi movie where somebody catches some sort of interstellar brain worm that makes them go insane. I mean, what is a 43-year-old, like, you've got a middle-aged white woman from Boise, Idaho, acting like a Grand Theft Auto character all of the sudden? She's stealing ambulances and crashing into buildings and lighting on fire, and she's just doing it like no mask, no nothing. She just like thinks she can get away with it, and she gets arrested, and I'm sure she'll be let out. She'll probably do it again. Again, it happens so often, and we don't keep track of it or make it a big deal, so it just sort of falls to the side, and you never get the feeling that you should of all these things stacking up on top of each other, of the momentum getting bigger and bigger and stronger, like the snowball rolling down the hill. I mean, these things are only getting worse. And I'm not even sure if this is the woman that was on the video, because there was a video over the weekend of another woman just like really casually trying to like set a building on fire. She's wearing like nice clothes. She's just, you know, again, another middle-aged white woman just being like, I think I'll do some arson today. I think I'm a freedom fighter and I'll go burn down a federal building. And it's just like, what is happening? What is wrong with you people? It's crazy. It's completely crazy. Okay, so this week we've had somebody try to kill Donald Trump. We had another woman slam an ambulance into a federal office building and try to burn it down. Andy Ngo reports Texas targets Houston Antifa cell in terror probe. Yeah, it's like this stuff, you know, it's just like, you know, post-millennial reports on it. And it just sort of goes away. It's from the 24th of February. Hey, maybe we should make a bigger deal out of this. I mean, it's just sort of strange, isn't it, that there's nothing like this from the right wing. You don't have daily examples of the right wing committing arson or killing people or attacking people or having domestic terror cells in major U.S. cities. And yet the Democrats and the mainstream media are constantly running with the narrative that the right wing is dangerous, the right wing are terrorists. And it just makes less than no sense. It would be unfair or unequal or nonsensical if we were both doing this, but only the right wing it was reported on. But that's not the case. No, nobody reports on the left wing violence. Nobody seems to notice the left wing violence. It goes totally unaddressed, even though it's festering like a cancer in every city in this country. And the right wing constantly gets called domestic terrorists, even though we have nothing like this at all, ever, like even remotely. A Houston area Antifa cell is under civil and criminal investigation by the Texas Attorney General for possible involvement in aiding terrorism and doxing targets. The Screwston Anti-Fascist Committee, which calls itself an organization, maintains a large online presence where it spreads radical propaganda, targets private citizens and law enforcement officers, sells merchandise to bankroll its activities. Radical leftists have engaged in coordinated efforts to militarily attack our nation and undermine the rule of law, Attorney General Ken Paxton, a Republican, said in a statement earlier this month. Screwston and related groups have illegally doxed Texans and encouraged violent terrorism against fellow citizens. These deranged traitors will face the full force of law. No stone will be left unturned and no tool will be left unused. So at least one person, Ken Paxton, who's running against, what's his name, to be Senate. Chip Roy. He's running against Chip Roy. Paxton would definitely be the better choice. Although, I don't know who's gonna replace him as Attorney General, because he's been pretty unparalleled in that position so far. But yeah, so, all right, that's another one. I mean, I have a lot of these. I have a hell of a lot of these. 30 more people arrested after superseding indictment returned in Don Lemon, Minnesota church storming case. So another example of the leftist terror in this case actually being addressed, but again, only because it had a prominent person involved, the Don Lemon. It became a big scandal. If they just hadn't filmed it, if they hadn't filmed themselves doing this, probably wouldn't have even heard about it. They certainly would not be arrested. If they had instead just chosen to go, hey, Don Lemon, go somewhere else, don't film us, but we're going to go in here and terrorize these churchgoers, it probably wouldn't have gone anywhere. But so in a way, they're almost caught by their own overconfidence, where they're just like, yeah, hell yeah, film us doing this. Film us committing terrorism. It's fine. We'll be fine about it. They love it. The authorities love when we do this sort of stuff, so they won't, you know, get in our way. They should have been a little bit more careful there. And I got a lot more. I mean, the problem is I just can't even remember all these. I know there's like four more from this week alone of this type of stuff. And it really just goes on and on, and nothing is being done to address it. I do have some, again, interesting news from this week that I never actually got to. Things like this, I'm not sure how accurate this really is, but it is interesting. From Will Hild on X, BlackRock is in major trouble. Today, a seismic shift has happened in the antitrust case brought against the ESG asset manager cartel of BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. Vanguard is admitting defeat, agreeing to settle the lawsuit brought by a coalition of state attorneys general led by Ken Paxton. As part of the settlement, they will pay $30 million in fines, turn over all documents related to their coordinated ESG activism, end all ESG activism for years to come. This is a massive win. The reckoning is here. The settlement with Vanguard is a major blow to the ESG asset manager cartel that has set the stage for more to come. The attorney general sought and got long overdue accountability and a massive course correction from Vanguard. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink should be extremely worried about what could be uncovered next and who's going to fold next. If State Street folds and admits defeat as well, he will be left on an island all on his own. And yet, this is what should be happening. This, again, should have happened a long time ago. It's ridiculous that something like ESG was ever allowed to be perpetuated, because it is just obviously against the law in any number of ways. It violates the Civil Rights Act, because you're judging people and hiring people on the basis of their race. It violates the duty that companies have to their shareholders to maximize their returns rather than use their money to achieve social ends. It has all of the elements of a monopoly or a trust, in which companies are not given the option whether or not they want to participate, but are told you have to participate or else you won't get access to the monopolistic control of the market that these companies enjoy. So a small victory, but a good one, and one that needs to be maximized and repeated and done over and over until BlackRock and State Street and Vanguard and all of their subsidiaries and associates are all held to account for the various numerous laws and morals that they break on a continual basis. And it really, again, it really does just go on and on. And I also want to talk about, this is another thing that, again, I haven't talked about too much because each little instance maybe isn't worth a full segment or whatever on its own. But when you combine them all, you get a very disturbing set of circumstances. And this has to do with anti-Semitism and free speech and the method by which those things are being destroyed. Free speech being destroyed on the basis of so-called anti-Semitism. And of course, they're succeeding in this fairly wildly when it comes to the national level. But don't overlook the way that these things are being implemented on the local level. Jews are developing a police state in Florida. HB 945 creates a, quote, counterintelligence unit to spy on and arrest you for, quote, views or opinions they deem anti-Semitic. This is from the Patriotic Blonde at I'm Breck Worsham. This is the bill, section 943.0316, Florida statutes, created to read this. On subsection 2, they say, as used in this section, the term advisory intelligence entity includes, but is not limited to, any national, foreign, multinational, friendly competitor, opponent, adversary, or recognized enemy of the non-government or non-governmental organizations, companies, businesses, corporations, consortiums, groups, agency, cell, terrorist, insurgent, guerrilla entity, or person who demonstrated actions, views, or opinions are a threat or are inimical to the interest of the state and the United States of America. What does that mean? It elaborates. This unit shall identify, has created a domestic security task force established under this statute. The unit shall identify threats by analyzing patterns of life, gathering actionable intelligence, and formulating effective plans of action, and by executing arrests or by revealing its intent to compel a response using all counterintelligence and counterterrorism tradecraft necessary to protect the state from adversary intelligence entities. The unit may conduct direct action missions on its own against a threat or may incorporate with or into other units to counteract and stop identifiable threats. So again, the way this is being implemented is through incrementalism, right? First, it's, well, we just need hate crime, you know, enhancements on regular crime. And, you know, we've heard Randy Fine making this argument where he's going, it's already illegal to litter, but if you litter something that's anti-Semitic, 5 years in jail. And they're basically just ratcheting it up from there. So it'll be, well, it's, you know, it's not hate speech. There aren't hate speech laws, but there are hate speech enhancements for regular laws. And, well, we're not censoring you, but we will take anything you say as a threat, even if it's not a threat. We'll read a threat into it and then arrest you on that basis. And we'll even extradite you from different states to do that. Of course, that's what happened in with a person extradited out of Texas and into Florida. Proposal to create counterintelligence unit receives bipartisan pushback. Sponsor says they'll introduce amendment to address First Amendment concerns. But I mean, what do you mean First Amendment? No, they're destroying the First Amendment. That's the point. That is the only point. That's what they're doing. That's the only thing they're doing. So I don't know what concerns you would have that you'd be able to fix with this, like within this statute, because the whole statute is destroying the First Amendment. So if you want to say the First Amendment, you have to just not pass that statute, not have a counterintelligence unit that's spying on Floridians' private conversations so that they can charge you with hate crimes for speaking out against the genocidal, psychotic state of Israel. Ohio's doing it. New York is doing it. I'll bring you those stories on the other side. States throughout this union are quietly implementing anti-First Amendment, anti-Semitism laws that are the biggest threat to our speech as of now, because this isn't about getting kicked off the internet. This is about getting your ass arrested and thrown in jail for a decade for the words that you use. And it's happening. It's already happening.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, the depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke, fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot and show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition in aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, a systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight. And it funds the operation. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus. Classic 1776 stuff. Quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff. Classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. It takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
That's right. RFK Jr., aka Secretary of Health, is in Austin. Doing leg presses, I guess. Doing leg presses and going on Joe Rogan. He had a couple clips go viral from his Joe Rogan interview, and I want to go to a few of these now. First, let's go to this one about autism. This is RFK Jr. breaking down just the sheer scale of the autism scandemic. And so this is actually a great term for it. It is a scamdemic. It's a pandemic of scams. Here's RFK Jr. on the scamdemic of autism rates in the Somali community.
this going on for? Like, when did this fraud begin, do you believe?
It really accelerated during the Biden administration. We expected to pay for the Minnesota program just for autism care for kids who have autism. The kids need the care because, you know, they go to maybe a special school, but then they come home from school and the parents aren't there because they're working. So who's going to take care of them? So in legitimate circumstances, you would want to pay for that. But what happened is they just started this wholesale fraud. We expected the cost of that program to be about $3 million a year in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. It got up in over a three-year period, it got up to $400 million a year. So, it was all fraudulent, almost.
I just don't.
Again, it's like those are resources that were meant for people who have real problems. So, like, they're literally stealing from, like, disabled children. Yeah, I have to understand. They're literally just stealing from disabled children because they figured out that you can just fake these types of disorders. And again, it's not about, it just always goes back to just having a system with vulnerabilities. And when those vulnerabilities get taken advantage of, the system has to go away. And it's the same thing across the board. You can't give people an opportunity to screw you over. And it sucks that we can't do that, but we just can't, right? It sort of reminds me of the conversation about, transgender bathrooms, where it's like, okay, not every transgender person is a rapist, obviously. They're not all pretending to be the wrong sex just to snoop on women. But when you tell everybody that anybody can go in the women's bathroom as long as they say they're a woman, then you are going to have some portion of the population that sees that as a green light to fake it, to get the rocks off. Like, and you have to take that into account and make laws that go, hey, we can't just open this up because we're leaving our young women vulnerable. It's the same thing here where it's like, it'd be nice to have, things to help kids with autism, especially if it's really severe. Parents absolutely need help with that. But it all gets stolen by Somalis. So I guess it has to go away now. I guess we have to have some method by which we determine whether or not the funds are going to people that deserve it or not. But he didn't just say that. He also talked about the decision about glyphosate that President Trump made earlier this week. That pissed off a lot of people that voted for him. RFK Jr., sort of justified it a little bit in a statement and said, I'm not happy about it, but, and we explained this at the time where, it is true that getting your necessary supplies, because the way our food supply chain works at this point, whether we like it or not, glyphosate has become deliberately, it's been made into a like necessary component of our system. Not to say that we can't reform the system, it's just that takes a lot of work, and when you're talking about gigantic systems of millions of people that feed hundreds of millions of people, you got to secure it first and then try to remake it. So I get why he was making the justification, but he elaborated a little bit on Rogan yesterday. Here's RFK Jr. talking about the decision to create glyphosate here at home.
What was the recent ruling on glyphosate?
I was on an EO, which is an executive order. Right. From the president saying that we're going to make the ingredients for glyphosate in this country and for elemental phosphorus. And, I've spent 40 years fighting pesticides. It was, I was part of the trial team on the Monsanto case, which was the team that, we won three cases in a row and then got an $11 billion settlement with Monsanto, which is now Bayer. By the end of our trial, Bayer owned Monsanto. But, pesticides are poison. They're designed to kill all life. It's not a good thing to have in your food. So it's not something that I was particularly happy with. Let me put it that way mildly. But I also understand the president's point of view. The president didn't create this system. He's dealing with a problem that was created long before, over the past 60 years, when, through federal policies and subsidies and the management of farming in this country, the agricultural management, we have addicted our farmers to these pesticides, and particularly glyphosate. Glyphosate is the foundational pesticide of our food production system. So 97% of corn in this country is produced with glyphosate and can't be produced without it. 98% of, you know, you could do it. You could change it. There's organic corn producers in this country. It's like 3%. 98% of soy is produced with glyphosate. If you ban glyphosate overnight, or if you got rid of it, or if somebody else cut off our supply, it would destroy the American food system.
Is that such a bad thing after all? Now we'll get back into health, because I have a few more health things to talk about, and it's all tied in together. But yes, our not just food system, but food system is just part of the overall holistic health system that is in absolute shambles right now and is just failing us in every regard. So we'll get back to that in just a second. But I do see that James Comer and the other Republicans who are questioning Bill Clinton have come out and are giving a press conference now. So I want to go to that live. And I imagine we'll be hearing from Bill Clinton himself if he does the same thing Hillary did. So they are now giving a press conference following the deposition of Bill Clinton, which lasted for hours today. Let's go to that live feed.
Well, our deposition of former President Clinton has concluded. I want to thank everyone for braving the cold and staying out here. I know it's been a very long day. We believe this was a very productive deposition. I will have to say that President Clinton answered every question or attempted to answer every question. We can talk about some of his answers in more detail. And I'm sure once the video is released and the transcript's released, not only will you, but a lot of people in America will have more questions about some of the answers that were given and where we go from here. But with respect to today, this was a long process. And I want to say this was historical. I believe that in the history of Congress, the two highest ranked officials to ever be deposed by Congress would be President Bill Clinton and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. This is a serious investigation. We will continue to try to get the truth to the American people and justice for the victims. But I think a consistent theme continues to persist throughout all the people that we bring in. Obviously, the government failed the victims. There was justice was not served in Palm Beach when Epstein was first arrested. We're very concerned about that. We still have lots of questions about how Epstein accumulated so much wealth, and we will continue to bring some more people in and try to get answers. I'm going to yield to the other committee members, but every member of the committee participated both days and asked very good questions. Ms. Mays?
Yes, I want to thank President Clinton for being here today. He was here for a very long day. He did attempt to respond to every single question asked, even when his attorneys told him to shut up. He kept, you know, going. I think there's agreement, too, on everybody who was here on both sides of the aisle that we want to get to the bottom of this, whether Jeffrey Epstein was an intel asset or honeypot operation, sex trafficker, prostitution ringleader, financeer of Ponzi schemes, financial crimes, et cetera. There is an effort, I believe, and a belief that we need to get to the bottom of this because justice was not served in the Southern District of New York. It was not served in Palm Beach. And it certainly hasn't been served for many victims around the world who are victims of this operation. I want to thank my colleagues on both sides of the aisle for their questions today. Representative Sansbury had a lot of courageous questions. She showed bravery today. She and I never get along. Sometimes, in fact, can be seen arguing in oversight. But I say that because this is a place that is not partisan. This is a place where the country is seeing Republicans and Democrats work together to figure this out, find the truth, and try to come up with solutions so that when this happens, women are believed, men are prosecuted, their abusers are prosecuted, and justice can be seen and can be done. And I want to thank everyone for their hard work. I think I can't say anything about the questions and answers today or yesterday, but I will comment that I believe you'll see some inconsistencies in some of the responses. I brought that to the forefront this afternoon. Thank you. I'd like to close by saying that we do intend to follow up and bring in, and I know that that's up to the chairman's discretion, but some of the co-conspirators that were given lesser sentences that were known to have trafficked young girls. Unacceptable. There's a difference between a victim and someone who engaged in prostitution and the trafficking of minors, and that needs to be clarified. I will again hold to the same thing that I said earlier, and that I do believe, and I'm sure some people on this committee also believe, that Jeffrey Epstein was an intelligence asset and running some form of a honeypot operation. I do believe that President Clinton, as well as the secretary, were potentially targets of that operation, and we will leave it at that, and I look forward to seeing you all react to the depositions, as I think that this is information that's important and belongs to the American people.
Mr. Langworthy?
I want to reiterate what some of my colleagues have said. I want to salute our chairman, James Comer, for putting together an extremely professional deposition these last 2 days. Factual. This was not a highly partisan event like most of our hearings are when we're in Washington. We were there to ask direct questions. I think President Clinton today was quite candid, probably more candid than his attorneys were comfortable
Correct.
With. I think that this will obviously, when we release the video of this, I mean, you'll have the opportunity to digest it. But we do have to get justice for the victims, because in all of the political food fight of Washington, D.C., what is getting lost is the fact that there are victims that deserve justice.
Depositions like this are important because we need to get answers. We need justice for the victims. Epstein and his associates committed unspeakable evil, and I'm glad that President Clinton and Hillary came out here. What I believe I saw over the last 2 days was selective memory, very good details back into the 90s, and in other times, I don't know, I don't recall. So we have more questions to answer. Thank you.
And we'll answer a couple of questions.
Yes. Can you definitely say that as a result of the former president's deposition, you now have more information that you didn't have before about his sex trafficking ring? And secondly, also as a result of the deposition, will you be opening any new investigations or new inquiries into specific individuals or institutions?
Well, we're going to bring more people in. We're not finished. We didn't want to announce names before today. It was so hard to get the Clintons in. I didn't want to do anything to jeopardize losing them. I think we learned some things. We were hoping to get more, but there were many questions, as you will see, hopefully in the next 24 hours when the videos were released, that there were a lot of very specific questions about very specific documents and correspondence that were subpoenaed by that we got from the Department of Justice, as well as the Epstein estate. Many times the Clintons couldn't recall or didn't know or denied that they were pertaining to them. So, but I do think that we picked up some new facts. We asked both Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton where we should go from here as a committee, because we're sincere about trying to get the truth to the American people and hold some bad actors accountable in this. Yes, yes.
Secretary Clinton's deposition release.
Yeah. We've got one employee that does the videography, and he had to do the videography today too. So we're going to try to release those.
And approval by the attorneys.
Yeah. Well, the transcript has to be approved by the attorney. So the video could very likely come out before the transcripts. Once the transcribers were in here, we had a whole team of transcribers. They're going to, you know, put it on paper, then both sides will get to approve the transcripts, then we'll release it. That's standard rules of deposition. We always do that. We will do that with the videos as quick as we can get them all uploaded and cleaned up, any background noise or anything like that. Then we will release them, hopefully, in the next 24 hours.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know you've been asked repeatedly about Secretary Lutnick as well. While this deposition was playing out, President Trump said that Secretary Lutnick would testify. Have you made a decision yet on whether you're going to call him in?
Well, we have a lot of questions about anyone who spent time with Epstein post conviction, the first conviction. I think that's where, and if anyone disagrees, feel free to speak up, but I think that's where most of our concerns are. Once you knew Jeffrey Epstein was a sex offender, mm-hmm. Why did you continue a relationship? So Stay tuned on that.
Why do you think today was more respectful than yesterday? Was President Clinton more cooperative?
It's respectful. Okay.
Well,
we were respectful.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can watch the video and say, you know, everybody knows President Clinton. He's got Southern people skills. He's a charming individual, obviously.
So, Mr. Cornwell.
Yes, yes.
Mr. Chairman, you have said in the past that Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton were not accused of any wrongdoing connected to Jeffrey Epstein. After 2 days of asking them very tough questions in that regard, do you still feel the same way, that there's no reason to think that they're connected to any wrongdoing?
Well, they said they weren't. I guess innocent until proven guilty. We're going to go back and look at, the reason Ms. Clinton complained about being asked the same question over and over is because we presented different emails, different documents that would suggest that she was close with Epstein and Maxwell, and obviously she denied that. Now we're going to go back and verify that to see if any type of perjury was committed. Chad.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, President Trump said today that he knew nothing about the Epstein files and he was exonerated. Do you agree that he is exonerated of this matter?
From all the evidence I've seen, he's been exonerated for a long time.
And would that preclude your committee, if that's your position, from your committee calling him?
Well, we'll discuss that as we move forward. Obviously, we've got more people to bring in, and we'll see if any new evidence arises. But right now, I haven't seen anything. And if anybody
Can I just say this? Yeah. The Epstein victims have exonerated President Trump. This is a trope that you guys are, a rabbit hole you guys are going down, but he has been exonerated over and over again by Epstein victims. We need to get all the information on co-conspirators. We still don't even have the names of all the co-conspirators because the Southern District of New York is hiding that information by redacting those names.
And wait, just real quick, if I can also just add into that.
If that's the case, though, you make the case, the chairman makes the case, but why it was so important to hear in great detail from both countries. But why it's not...
If I can just elaborate
Clinton
real quick...
Was
hold on,
Epstein's
hold on.
Plane, 26 flights.
Hold on.
I mean, he had information with him for hours and hours, lots
real
of
quick,
all the things.
Chad, if I can just add in, President Clinton, and you guys will all be able to hear specifically what he said, reference a 2002-2003 conversation of which he did not feel that President Trump had any wrongdoing in regards to Jeffrey Epstein. It's incredibly important that you guys see through the partisan nature of what has become this entire investigation. It's also important that you guys are reporting the fact that everything that we are seeing in these documents, to include what I presented to both the Secretary and President Clinton, show that Epstein was running an intelligence operation. He was targeting people specifically, and he was intentionally bringing in and using women to traffic in minors and then exposing vulnerabilities for different people. What I will also say is that, like Nancy has said and the chairman, there is nothing that we are seeing where there's criminal involvement or reason to believe that the president has any wrongdoing. And that is why we are not supporting this crazy theory in bringing him into all of this. We appreciate that President Clinton said what he did. And I will say that that has probably been, I guess, the silver lining in all of this.
And I will say Secretary Clinton and President Clinton both offered, I think, suggestions, advice on where this investigation should go based on information they have, things that they've seen, experiences in their positions. And that's helpful to this entire thing. And again, this has been not partisan. We saw really great questions from the Democrat side of the Oversight Committee and the Republican side today. I was very impressed with where this went today.
Nancy, can I ask, when have survivors said to you that President Trump is exonerated?
Yes.
Because they've only ever told me they want to see him questioned.
Nope, I've never heard that from a single victim.
When the committee, the Republicans and Democrats met with, what were there, five or six survivors that day? We met with 2 hours.
And
their attorneys. Of course, the Democrats asked that question numerous times to the victims, and they all said they never saw anything or heard anything that Donald Trump did wrong, never saw him on the island or anything
else.
And
if I can just add in real quickly also, there was false allegations made against President Clinton, okay? We are not going to bring in people that were making false allegations against either president. That's not what you do in this, okay? We're looking for justice, and that's why we're going to be bringing in some of the known co-conspirators that were given plea deals, okay? That's justice.
Congressman Luna, you did a great job on that today.
Thank you.
Last question, yes.
You have issues with redactions in the Southern District. Have you raised that concern to the Attorney General?
I have raised my concerns with redaction to the Southern District of New York. They have a letter of the DOJ and the CIA.
My advice to the Department of Justice is release the documents and unredact the names of anyone who wasn't a victim. And I think one of the issues we have, can you be a victim and a victimizer? That's a question that we're going to talk about as we move forward. Now, we look forward to seeing you next week in Washington. Yep. We will have further announcements of where we're going with the investigation, but we have two more depositions already booked, one with Jeffrey Epstein's accountant and one with Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer. So those are forthcoming. We'll probably announce some more people we're going to bring in prior to those depositions. But I think we had a good 2 days in New York City. I appreciate the Clintons being here. Mm-hmm. Wish it wasn't so hard to get them here, but as often is the case, it was more difficult than it should have been. But thank you all for being here, and we look forward to releasing the video and the transcript as soon as possible. Thank you all.
All right, folks, so that is the House Committee Republicans following up on their deposition of Bill and Hillary Clinton. Apparently the same person filming the deposition today filmed Hillary's yesterday, so that's why Hillary's has not been posted yet, although that may be because they're waiting for Friday evening or Saturday morning, so it misses the news cycle. We don't really know, but obviously the transcripts will be released later. They have to be approved of by the lawyers on both sides. So, you know, pretty interesting. They seemed a little bit like after Hillary, it seemed like they didn't really have much, and she was very like self-satisfied with herself. And when asked about Bill Clinton's deposition being, you know, less fraught, more congenial, his answer was like, well, you know, he's got that Southern charm and he knows how to turn it on. It's just like, yeah, well, Bill Clinton's charming and Hillary Clinton isn't. That's the big difference between yesterday and today. But he basically said he'll have more questions than answers. And now there's talk from Anna Paulina Luna and others. Of course, she gave a statement earlier today, and I believe y'all played the video, saying that based on our congressional investigation, it is my professional opinion that Jeffrey Epstein was running a honeypot operation, calling on four women who are considered victims of him to actually be like reclassified as co-conspirators with him and to be brought in for questioning. And there is a bit of a blurry line between these two things. At times, it's the nature of the beast, and it's part of the strategy that's used. Of course, you abuse women, and then you get them in on the abuse, and it's really just a fulfillment of or an expansion of the classic and almost ubiquitous like predator strategy of making the victim feel like it's their fault. And this is just what pedophiles do to kids, right? It's like, well, you're the one that seduced me, so really, this is your fault, and you're going to get in trouble just as much as me if anybody finds out. Sickening, but that's, you know, the way that they get silence from their victims. And then that transmutes into, you already helped me once. You helped me do these other things. And, you know, you're in on it too. So, you know, why don't you gain some from it at least? And so they go from victims to co-conspirators. We still have a lot of news to cover, a lot of videos to show you. Going to be a very big final hour for this week of broadcast on InfoWars and Band.video. Please do go to the Alex Jones store. com today to keep us on air and in the fight. We have, of course, fantastic and monumental sales continually. Right now it is BOGO subs. That's buy one, get one free supplements. Buy Ultimate Creatine Powder and you get CMOS gummies or Shilajit gummies absolutely free, plus 25% off hats, t-shirts, all apparel.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit. You get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Folks, third hour of the War Room is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to be back to cover a lot of news this last hour, but I'm going to go to a video that does a great job of debunking the myth of white privilege. This was posted online. White privilege debunked in 5 minutes. Here it is.
Take your time. All right, so white privilege is largely a myth used by cultural Marxists and the far left to guilt trip and shame whites into relinquishing what little power and influence they still have in the West. The broader culture of many Western countries is almost explicitly anti-white. On a routine basis, calls go out for major media figures, politicians, celebrities, and others to reduce the amount of whites in big institutions. This is often done under the guise of promoting diversity and inclusion. These are Orwellian code words for less whites. Major figures in our media and culture like Stephen Colbert, Anderson Cooper, Jennifer Rubin, Joe Biden, and others have hailed the decline of white demographics as a good thing. If our leaders and cultural elite favor whites as a group, they have a funny way of showing it. In 2016, the hashtags OscarsSoWhite, HollywoodSoWhite began trending on Twitter, and numerous big-name celebrities like Jane Fonda, Jonah Hill, Joaquin Phoenix put up public statements calling for more diversity in the industry. Jewish actor Seth Rogen in a 2020 interview stated that he was actively taking measures to, quote, make less things starring white people. The same pleas to disenfranchise whites rings out in professional sports, politics, the media, book publishing, advertising, modeling, and virtually every industry you can think of. The media has even run stories saying that camping, rock climbing, and cycling and other outdoor activities are too white. What's astonishing, though, is that when whites are the minority of a particular industry, nobody says diversity is needed. The NBA and NFL leagues are dominated by blacks at 70% and 74% black, respectively. Hip-hop, R&B, rap, jazz music is dominated overwhelmingly by blacks. Yet nobody is calling for those leagues or industries to be diversified with more non-blacks. The only sports league that they say needs more diversity is the NHL because it's majority white. In 2020, the NHL set up a Hockey Diversity Alliance and formed four committees to, quote, study the intersection of race and hockey. All the major corporations and government agencies in the U.S., Canada, U.K. have initiated these diversity programs. Diversity is evidently a one-way street towards the total erasure of whites and their replacement with non-whites. Let's look at a few real-world examples of black and brown privilege generally. Look at how the media treats victims of police shootings. Most people know the names of George Floyd, Trayvon Martin, Breonna Taylor, Michael Brown, other blacks killed by police or by whites. These names are known around the world thanks to a cacophony of intense media coverage. Yet very few have heard the names of Tony Tempo, Autumn Steele, Jeremy Martis, Cannon Hinton, Duncan Lemp, and other whites who were killed either by police or by blacks. The major media clearly values the lives of blacks more than whites. and focuses only on the stories it can use to drive home an anti-white, pro-black narrative. Look at how white and black racial activism is treated by the state and the media. Putting up posters that say, it's okay to be white, are routinely met with police hate crime investigations and media hysteria. But blacks who do analogous messaging for their race are met with praise. Armed black thugs like the Not Fucking Around Coalition march through the streets menacing whites with shouts of black power and demands for reparations. And they go unmolested by police and basically uncritical media coverage. Yet when whites march for their rights peacefully, they're met with a heavy hand by police, Antifa rioters, and intense demonization by the media and politicians. In Canada and Europe, pro-white activism is often met with criminal charges and state harassment. We have other examples from the UK. A burly football fan was recently investigated by police for an incident in which he flew a White Lives Matter banner over a stadium. He was, quote, handed a lifetime ban by his club and sacked from his job at an engineering firm. Contrast that treatment with an Indian professor at Cambridge University, Dr. Primavada Gopal, who tweeted, white lies don't matter. A news article reported that, quote, University of Cambridge has spoken out in support of one of its lecturers who was hit by a wave of abusive messages for tweeting white lies don't matter. The university defends the right of its academics to express their unlawful opinion. But imagine if it was a white professor who said the opposite. Then we have the phenomenon of whites pretending to be non-whites.
And that's just a recitation of things that everybody knows. Is this not obvious to everybody? You really need to be told this stuff?
We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. The War Room with Harrison Smith is live right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We still have a lot to cover in this final hour. I hope that you will support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Trying to think of how we navigate through all that I have to cover. I think we'll start this hour with Iran. We'll start talking about Iran. So obviously we continue to teeter on the edge of all out war with that country. And for an unstated purpose, I'll say that. It's not that there's not a reason that we're going after Iran. It's just that they haven't actually enunciated that reason with any specificity or honesty to be found. They'll give you lots of other reasons that don't really make any sense, that have been the same claims made for the last 30 years about them getting a nuclear bomb, or now it's about ballistic missiles, and it doesn't really matter. It's all in service of Israel, and everybody knows it. And it's getting embarrassing to see people try to pretend it's anything but, and sort of longer it goes on, the more ridiculous it seems. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at the end of the day whether the American people want it, because we don't live in a democracy and the people in power fear their sponsors and the, intelligence complex of Israel more than they fear their voters, who, of course, are at the beck and call, at the demand and under the sway of mainstream media, who will instruct people to vote for whoever goes to war with Iran and will try to destroy anybody that doesn't. Just take a look at Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massey, or the general that warned Trump not to get into war with Iran. He's been fired now at this point, because anybody that's against war with Iran gets fired. You understand that? And anybody who's against war with Iran and hasn't been fired is hanging on by their fingernails and has been fighting tooth and nail for the last year to maintain their position. Pete Hegseth is one of these. J.D. Vance is constantly being caught in the middle of these. They've both had their underlings forced out because they share the belief that American soldiers' lives shouldn't be wasted on a foreign country. So they're still hanging in there, but pretty much everybody else has been ousted severely. And yeah, this is from joehoft.com. War is coming to Iran. Everything is being readied for war with Iran. The time is near. And I'll just add, you know, whether you like it or not, and against all reason and morality, it's happening. It's just happening. If you think this is weird, if you think this is odd, then you don't know history. There is really not a war. Well, I guess, I mean, they really fine-tuned their propaganda in the last couple decades. So you could argue that, like, the American people were in favor of war with Iraq, but it was entirely based off lies. And so it's kind of like, well, they were in favor of it, but that's because they believed the claims that weren't actually true. If they knew those claims weren't true, then they wouldn't have bought into it. But regardless, if you go back to World War One, World War Two, I mean, 90% of Americans are against intervention until we intervene. And then, you know, people turn around because at that point you're in the war. All the media falls into line. Everybody starts pushing it. Anybody arguing against it is labeled as a traitor who is, you know, a subversive trying to destroy the country from within. So they get silenced. But every time the American people want nothing to do with what the hell is going on. In that case, in Europe, in this case, in the Middle East, we don't care. It's not our concern. It's not what we have to worry about. Here's just a random story that, has been on my desk for the last couple of days, sort of tangential to the Iran war, but it colors the Iran war. For me, it overshadows the entire Iran war. And it's a story about a little town called Fall River, who banned driving because snow cleanup was still underway 4 days after a blizzard happened. So in a town in the northeast of America, they're so incompetent, they're so at a lack of resources that after a heavy snowstorm, the roads are still blocked. People are still trapped in their homes 3 and 4 days after the storm hits. So to me, it's like, it's not even about war with Iran. It's about the simultaneous expenditure of resources overseas to deal with problems that have nothing to do with us. While simultaneously, we can't even do the basics here in America. We can't even get the basic function of government done, which I think, yeah, like clearing the road should probably be one of those. I mean, go to even the, you know, most hardcore libertarian. It's still like, it's the classic thing. It's like, well, the government does build roads, right? It does build and maintain roads. It can at least do that. Like, no matter what, even if you don't like the government in your education and the welfare, it's like somebody's got to maintain the roads, right? And it's, I don't want a corporation doing that. It's just, can the government just clean the roads, please? When I pay half of my income to the government, can they at the very least make it so I can drive on the roads where I live, especially in places? It's different, you know, in Texas, we had a big snowstorm in 2021. It took weeks to clear, but we don't have any snow clearing stuff. It never happens here. Why would we have snow plows like rotting away in warehouses for the once every 30 years we need them? But if you're in the Northeast, you should be good at clearing snow at this point. At this point, you should be aware that snow is going to be an issue and you should have the ability to solve that problem. So again, it's not like a major national story, but maybe it should be. Maybe as a sign of the times, as a sign of the collapse of our entire system, there should be more noise made about the fact that a town in America, and I'm just thinking about like the elderly people, the infirm people, people with disabilities. I mean, they're stuck in their homes. And if their electricity goes out or something, what are they supposed to do? And then earlier today, another homeless person was found frozen under the snow in New York City because dozens of people have died during that snow. So again, as we're talking about war with Iran, just remember it is at the cost of getting anything done here in America. Just basic functional services here in America are going totally unaddressed while we spend inordinate amounts of money, time, resources, and energy doing crap that doesn't affect anybody ever. Not doesn't affect Americans positively in any way and never will. So that's just your backdrop. Sorry, back to war with Iran now. Sorry, maybe you're one of these people, you know, in the snow, in the Northeast, trapped in your home, well, you know, the government calls you racist for one. And it is. It is. To be honest, clearing snow is white supremacy. It absolutely is. Man, I should go to that other video. And another video from earlier this week of, anyway, we don't need to get to it, but yeah, white privilege is your neighbor shoveling your, walkway for you. So maybe you're one of these people and you're trapped in the snow. Fear not, okay? I know you may be trapped. You may be running low on food supplies. You may be concerned about a family member or neighbor that has limited mobility and has been trapped in their home and might die because of the incompetence of your local government, but that's fine. Ignore all of that. You're fine. Everything's great. We're going to war with Iran, and you have to be in favor of that. Yesterday, the talks with Iran fell apart. Iran's terrorist regime would not give an inch. They thought they were dealing with Obama or Kennedy. They learned they were not. Wow, very tough, Joe Hoft. Who are they dealing with? Who are they dealing with then? A couple of Israeli real estate moguls that Trump has tapped to negotiate for us? Fantastic. The U.S. just handed Iran a document that is not a negotiation. It is a capitulation order. Okay. Okay. I mean, they say that like it's like, yeah, so tough. It's like, but why don't you just bomb them? Just go bomb them. Why are you doing this whole play acting where you're pretending to be diplomatic? It doesn't make it look like, well, we've exhausted all other options. Guess we have to attack now. It just looks like you're stringing Iran along because you're not just warmongers. You're like deeply untrustworthy. That's what it seems like to me. So it's like they say it's a negotiation, but it's not. They say we want Iran to do these simple things and then everything will be, we just don't want uranium. That's it. We just can't have them have a bomb. I mean, that's what it's all about, folks. Except they're demanding that they just like completely capitulate or else be destroyed. So it's not a negotiation. It's just a performative sort of, you're sort of like the mouse playing with, or the cat playing with the mouse before you eat it. You're not negotiating at all. You're not negotiating in good faith. There is no ability for Iran to capitulate and have a positive outcome from this. You're just going to war with them and trying to position yourself in a way that you can argue it's not your fault or that you tried to be diplomatic, but it sort of gets undercut when you're like, this is a capitulation order, not a negotiation. Now we know. Wall Street Journal obtained the American demands presented in Geneva today. Destroy Fordo, destroy Natanz, destroy Isfahan, hand over every gram of enriched uranium to the United States, zero enrichment permanently, no sunset clauses, no expiration dates, behave for the rest of your lives, in exchange, minimal sanctions relief up front, with more only if you comply with everything forever. It's like, you bastards, like, who would accept that? It's like, destroy all of your own stuff, go to war with yourself, basically, set yourself back 100 years. In scientific development, and in exchange, we'll just keep starving you with our sanctions. And they won't agree? What? Oh, these brilliant negotiators. Do they understand what negotiation is supposed to be, or are they just sort of trying to start a war? I think they're just trying to start a war. Iran's counterproposal, approved personally by Khamenei, arrived showing almost no change from the previous round, a 3 to 5 year enrichment suspension, increased IAEA oversight, willingness to dilute stockpiles, but zero flexibility on the one demand Washington says is non-negotiable, permanent zero enrichment on Iranian soil. The gap between these two positions is not a negotiation gap. The U.S. just handed Iran a document, non-negotiations capitulation order. Iran closed the last door from a pulpit in front of God. Ayatollah Ahmed Khatami stood before Friday prayers in Tehran today and declared the Islamic Republic has never accepted suspension of enrichment and will not accept it, not temporarily, not partially, not under any conditions. Friday prayers in Iran are not sermons. The state policy delivered through divine authority. When a senior cleric declares enrichment non-negotiable from the minbar, he is transmitting the supreme leader's final position through the only channel that outranks a diplomatic cable. Washington's demands for Geneva of destroying all of their stuff, the regime has basically said, no, that's not happening whatsoever. China has told its citizens to leave Iran. The country selling Iran missiles evacuated its own people. Ambassador Huckabee emailed Jerusalem staff saying leave Israel today. Canada issued its strongest warning. India, Germany followed. And then Khatami stood before Friday prayers and slammed the door on the only demand Washington calls non-negotiable. Six governments evacuated. One Ayatollah spoke. And the distance between America's only acceptable outcome and Iran's only acceptable position became infinite. Tomorrow, Oman's foreign minister meets Vance in Washington carrying Tehran's message. After today, we know that what the message cannot contain. It cannot contain zero enrichment. It cannot contain permanent suspension. It cannot contain the one thing America says it must. Diplomacy requires two open doors. Today, Iran locked its from the inside and handed the key to God. Well, I think they're just done being strung along, I think is what it is. I think every time they try to negotiate in good faith, America changes the conditions at the last minute and then acts offended that Iran doesn't just immediately capitulate. So we're going to war with Iran. U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee urges embassy staff to leave today. An email sent out to the staff of the U.S. Embassy. Huckabee wrote, those wishing to take authorized departure should do so today. He wrote, while there may be outbound flights over the coming days, there may not be. Because they're about to go to war, obviously. Iran rejects U.S., quote, excessive demands, but talks scheduled for next Wednesday. That story is at Infowars.com. After the third round of indirect U.S.-Iran talks held in Geneva on Thursday, Omani Foreign Minister Badr al-Busaidi, who was chief mediator, cited significant progress, which echoed the general positive assessment on the Iranian side. And we're sort of a little bit of mixed notes, but that's not unexpected after all. Last time we engaged in the 12-day war and bombed Iran, it was immediately after Donald Trump told them they had 10 more days to decide. So it's not exactly a surprise. But the absurdity of going to Iran at this moment against all prevailing American sentiment, against what is good for America, it's happening for a reason. The extremity to which they're going has a purpose or a reason or a motivation behind it. And that is that this is their last chance. And I'm going to go to two clips from Tucker Carlson now, even though I don't need to, because if you watch me, and if you watched American Journal before I hosted War Room, then you've heard this over and over again, which is nice to see Tucker Carlson talking about this as well. And maybe I'll elaborate a little bit on the other side, but we'll go to this one. It says, Tucker Carlson on Iran. Everybody knows the only reason that this is happening is because it's Israel's last chance to get this done. Something I, again, have been saying over and over and over forever, because obviously they've gambled absolutely everything on Gaza. They have destroyed their reputation overseas. There is absolutely no trajectory in which 10 years from now, everybody loves Israel again. The young people are the most radically anti-Israel, and they're only becoming more numerous and will only gain in power in the coming decades. So Israel sees its grip on American politics slipping irrevocably, and the damage that they've done through their actions in Gaza, America's not the only one that they're losing. And if they don't get Iran done right now, there's no coming back from the damage they've done to themselves in the coming decade. So let's go to Tucker Carlson laying this out, as I have many, many times before. Let's watch.
Everybody knows the only reason we're having this war is because Israel wants it. This is their last chance, they believe. This presidency is the last presidency where they're going to have unequivocal bipartisan support. Period. You can't primary every Thomas Massie, and there's a whole army of them coming at some point because everyone can see what's going on. And you can shut down X, and you can just shut down the internet. You can be like Great Britain and arrest people who protest Israel, but attitudes are not going to revert to what they were 5 years ago. Sorry. And they know this. So this is their last chance. What's so amazing is that Israel, which at least is acting in what it perceives to be its own national interest, is joined by its shills in the United States, of course. But really, its only other ally in this is the American news media, whose job it is to tell you the truth and inform you as to what's happening, to tell you, hey, wake up. The world could be changing, and it's going to affect you and your family. That's their job. And instead, they've been lulling you to sleep with the same variety of transparent lies and propaganda.
Yeah, he's exactly right. And I think I think it gets worse than this. I think it goes farther than this. I think the Israelis and the Israeli power structure, the Epstein cabal, if you will, those out there still operating, it's not just about getting this done now so they can get Iran out of the way and they can no longer require America to be their support. Because, like, if Iran was taken out, then Israel wouldn't need America as their shield so much anymore. Right now they need America because if you think back to even October 7th, like why after October 7th did Hezbollah not get involved? Did Iran not get involved? I mean, they stayed pretty much out of the conflict. They got involved a little bit here or there, but there was no like major like, okay, this is it. Now's the time. The big fight we've all been waiting for. Let's do it. And they didn't do that because it wasn't about Israel. It's about the giant American aircraft carrier sitting just off their coast saying, if you attack Israel, if you get involved in the Gaza-Israel conflict, we will blow you to smithereens. So without America there to shield them, Israel wouldn't have the freedom of action it does. Once they take out Iran and therefore the proxies like Hezbollah, then they won't need America there anymore because the threat will be gone. And so the Israeli elite are not just trying desperately to get Iran done now because they know that the sentiment in America is slipping away from them in terms of war with Iran. It's slipping away from them forever, irrevocably. And they don't even plan to bring it back in any way. The plan that they do have is to just increase censorship to a massive degree, keep buying up media outlets and pushing obviously fake stories that just pisses everybody off. Like it's their strategy isn't actually effective in turning people in favor of Israel. It really just infuriates everybody even more, which is all part of the strategy because at the end of the day, once they get Iran destroyed, America is no longer necessary as a shield and is therefore just a burden to their greater ambitions of becoming a worldwide hegemon and a primary state rather than a secondary one. And so their plan with America is just to let it go. They just as soon as they can get Iran done, and that will do a good job of like destroying a bunch of American military power. It'll weaken us significantly. It'll piss off people in America to a much more greater degree. So-called anti-Semitism will absolutely explode. But it doesn't matter because once Iran's taken care of and America's massively weakened, then they can just sort of pull the plug on America, move the center of power more towards the east and with the eventual plan of, having Israel break free. So us going to war with Iran, it's not about like we got to get it done now or else we won't get it done later. It's like we got to get it done now so we can sever our connection to America and destroy it. That's really what it's all about. Tucker elaborates on this a little bit too. Here he is speculating about the Israeli leadership cozying up to nations like India because they understand that they've destroyed their ability to rely on America as their shield. Let's watch.
Bet you've decided we need a new superpower. Public opinion in this country has swung against us so hard, this bipartisan consensus that we're its closest ally is disintegrating before our very eyes. And let's be honest with ourselves, this is not going to continue forever. We need another country to be aligned with. Now, how many big countries are there to choose from? It's got to be physically large, big population, nuclear armed. Not too many. In fact, the big ones would be China and India. But China, unfortunately, is a Han ethnostate. So you can't really turn its population against itself in order to increase your own power. It's not going to work. It's resistant to this, to manipulation. And that leaves India. And it was probably no coincidence that the Prime Minister of India, Prime Minister Modi, spoke to Knesset today about the ancient ties between Israel and India. Bottom line, yes, Israel is moving on from the United States at some point, probably sooner rather than later, to India. And so weakening the United States in a war with Iran is not all bad. In fact, it might be good because then there's no rivalry at all in your region. It's you, the only country with nuclear weapons, and everybody else. So you can kind of do whatever you want. You don't have to worry about hostile neighbors. You can expand the size of your territory, for example. You can move your borders in all directions. Who's going to stop you? No one.
So again, this is literally the argument I've been making since like 2024, because it's been obvious. It's just been obvious to anybody paying attention. All you have to do is just look at their actions and not their words, and also look at their words because they're actually telling you. Like, I think one of the most interesting, compelling arguments in favor of what Tucker Carlson just said, that it seems like Israel is done with America, is their actions in the West Bank. Like, if their intention was to use America to destroy Iran and then continue to be friends with America, continue to rely on America, then they would be doing everything they could to stop the violence and the attacks and the annexation of the West Bank, because they know that the American government is against that and doesn't like that. And so they would be, if that was the intention, trying to play nice with America and saying, no, no, that's not our intention at all. You just help us get Iran and we treat everybody nicely. And then later, after Iran, they would start taking over the West Bank. But they're taking over the West Bank now because they don't actually care about their relationship with America.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke, fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexshowstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose. Absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot and show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition in aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight, and it funds the operation. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus. Classic 1776 stuff. Quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff. Classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. It takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the final segment of the War Room. We're talking about the war with Iran and the corresponding collapse in American support for the state of Israel. Stories at Axios.com. America's slipping sympathy for Israel. For the first time in 25 years of Gallup polling, more Americans say they sympathize with Palestinians than with Israelis. A striking shift in U.S. public policy. It's more than striking. I'll show you a timeline here in just a second. The reversal reflects a dramatic shift in attitudes towards Israel, a key U.S. ally, after its war with Hamas triggered a humanitarian crisis and reshaped the Mideast. The difference, 41% who sympathize more with the Palestinians versus 36% for the Israelis, is not statistically significant, Gallup notes, but the trend over the last year shows how suddenly U.S. public opinion has soured on Israel, slipping 10 percentage points in 12 months. At the same time, Israel's favorability rating declined to its near historical low in Gallup's polling. The shift in sympathies is driven largely by political independents who reported more pro-Israel views in the past, according to Gallup. Those surveyed now say they sympathize with Palestinians over Israelis, 41% to 30%. 7 in 10 Republicans still say they sympathize more with the Israelis. Overall, Americans still have more positive view of Israel, 46% view it favorably, than of the Palestinian territories, 37%. Since last year's polling, a fragile U.S. brokered ceasefire was struck and is now in its second phase. However, deadly Israeli strikes have continued. Nearly the entire population of Gaza was displaced by the war, leaving hundreds of thousands exposed to the elements, according to the United Nations. Any hope of lasting peace depends on Hamas giving up its weapons and Israel pulling its troops back rather than trying to disarm Hamas by force. Axios's Barak Ravid reported in January. A survey of 1,001 U.S. adults was conducted between February 2nd and 16th and has a margin of error of around 4 percentage points. And so there's the image that shows the fatal cross where support for Palestine rises above support of Israel. And this is, that timeline there was something like between, 2005 and 2025 or 2026 when it finally crossed over. But it gets even more interesting when you expand it out even further and you look at several decades of American sentiment on Israel. Here's the timeline. And so you see it starts in the late 60s and it's, fairly consistent all the way to the mid 90s when there's that little instance. That must have been the Oslo Accords, I would guess, like early 1990s, but it starts to get a little bit, the fluctuations start to intensify. But here you start to see Israel climb, and this is the late 2000s, and it keeps climbing right until 2023 when it does a nosedive. So in my opinion, it's not, and let's keep this image up, it's not just that it's passed over for the first time. I think this whole thing has been orchestrated because of this chart. Do you understand what I'm saying? That from about 2000, with, minor inconsistencies, from about 2000 to about 2023, it was a steady climb of Israeli popularity in America. They were working hard, consistently, running their operations. And I don't want to talk in vagaries here. Let me tell you about the operations that they ran. Jordan Satchel was part of it. It was captured in the Lobby documentary by Al Jazeera, where they talk about just some of the methods that they use to increase the perception of support of Israel in America. One of them would be they would run Facebook groups about random non-affiliated topics. They'd have a coffee group. Hey, share your pictures of coffee. A group about kittens, come here to look at pictures of kittens. And that's what they were. They were Facebook groups about certain interest topics that were broad and, totally apolitical. Kittens, coffee, whatever. Little TV shows, whatever it is. And then just, every 10th post or so, or every month or so, these groups would just put out a little notice just going, hey, by the way, we stand with Israel and, Israel's great and, we all love Israel over here. And then we'd go back to kittens, back to coffee. Now, it would never even occur to someone like me to run something like that because it seems like the return of investment is so little, right? You're going to spend all this time and effort making a page popular, sharing content on it, managing the community to make sure it continues to grow, blah, 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 only to like just casually put in these little drops every month that, hey, by the way, we like Israel. Haha. Anyway, but I'm not thinking like a, global cabal with massive resources and back end control of social media. So actually for them, it's a hell of a lot easier. You pay a couple interns, you get a couple college students to run this stuff for you, and you do it enough and you have enough of these groups doing it, then the effect is subtle but widespread and substantial, because what it does is normalize the idea that, well, these aren't, you know, they don't know these are Israeli groups. They just think, well, you know, it's a normal thing. It's normal for people just to announce they support Israel. And hey, the coffee people like Israel, the cat people like Israel. I guess, you know, all the people I like Israel. I guess I like Israel too. Like that. And when you do it enough, and you got to understand, like, this is, it was, it's literally explained verbatim by the people doing it, and they're being paid for, they're funded by the Israeli government, who is doing this as a psychological operation against the American people. This is one of their methods, and they have a lot of methods like this. So, they spent two decades slowly building up, like a savings account, just squirreling away the pennies, just saving up goodwill for Israel, saving up good optics for Israel. Behaving themselves as good as possible, even though it wasn't necessary, running programs to maximize American support of Israel continuously, getting politicians to continually reiterate their support of Israel undying forever. And they build this up and they build this up and they build this up. And when it's at its absolute maximum is right when October 7th happens. Now, we know that October 7th was a false flag in many regards. The killing that was done in large part by the Hannibal Directive and Israeli gunships killing their own people in order to make it look more devastating than the attack actually was. They didn't respond to the attack for several hours after it had begun, with absolutely no explanation for the delay beyond it was on purpose and willful. They also knew about what was happening from various reports. The Egyptian intelligence had told them, Assad themselves had identified the plot a year before. They knew it was coming. They let it happen. They didn't respond until it had been able to, you know, get finished. And then they did the Hannibal Directive and killed a bunch of their own people to make it look even worse than it was. And then on top of that, they lied through their teeth about 40 babies in ovens and dozens and dozens of rapes being carried out. Like, just those just didn't happen, but it didn't matter because in the aftermath of October 7th, everybody was so anxious and terrified that, you know, and operating entirely off fear, that they were, you know, willing to accept these ridiculous claims and still support them to this day. It's absurd. So, you know, I can't prove it, but to me, it seems like the way I would do it. Like if I was planning a terrorist attack by Hamas to give Israel the green light to utterly destroy Gaza, knowing that it would get the Iranian proxy armies into the conflict, knowing that I could not only systematically and ruthlessly and systemically destroy every building in Gaza, but I could also take large swaths of Syria and Lebanon and even parlay this into an ultimate showdown with Iran. Then what I would do before that is spend about a decade building up positive American sentiment in Israel. You want that number as high as you can humanly get it, because you know it's about to collapse and you want to be able to hang on to it as long as humanly possible. So if we can bring up that chart one more time, you will notice that as of October, 2023, or, you know, maybe just a little bit before, the sentiment about Israel from Americans was the highest it's ever been, and for a sustained period. And only then did it collapse. I have the feeling that's not an accident. I have the feeling that, in a way, that was intentional. The timing was not a coincidence. But, of course, it has collapsed, and collapsed dramatically. And it's caused a bunch of people to turn against Israel, so Tucker Carlson, you know, points out that there's really nothing they can do to turn this around. And just to, you know, reemphasize what I was saying sort of at the end there, it might not have come across exactly how I meant it, but essentially, I think if it was Israel's intention that they want to go to war with Iran, or they want to just bomb Iran, they want to do another redo of like the 12-day war, they'll send some bombers over, they'll take out some Iranian positions, and then it'll all go back to how it was before. And that's sort of the idea that they're putting out there, that like, this isn't going to be a big war, it's not a big showdown, it's like going to be a, nobody's putting troops on the ground, nobody's putting boots on the ground, why is everybody freaking out about like a little bombing run? No, it's not going to be a big deal. If that was the case, if they really were planning on just doing a quick and dirty in and out, you know, hit job and then back to normal, back to status quo, then they would be more concerned about the sentiment of Americans when it comes to things like the West Bank. I really think that if their intention was to go back to normal with America, then they wouldn't be putting such a strain on our relationship with the way that they're annexing the West Bank. But they are, and they're doing it very aggressively, very intensely, very ruthlessly and brutally, and in just flagrant and abject disregard and actually disrespect of the American president, who has repeatedly and in no uncertain terms told them not to do this. If they were actually concerned about Trump's opinion, if they're actually concerned about what Trump was going to do, and if they wanted their relationship with America to be in the best condition it could be after a war with Iran, then they would just put the brakes a little bit on the West Bank stuff. I mean, the West Bank, there's nothing like compelling the West Bank thing to happen, right? There's no threat from the West Bank. Gaza or Hamas doesn't control West Bank like it did Gaza. The West Bank doesn't have Hamas cells and tunnels throughout it. It just doesn't. So there's no like excuse of just like, oh no, we got to get this. I know America doesn't like it, but we don't have a choice. Like, no, they have a choice. And if they cared about what America thought, if they actually were concerned with preserving their relationship with America, they wouldn't be behaving the way they are. It's just another piece of evidence to me that says they're done with America. They don't care what we have to say. They do not fear our retaliation. They do not fear our disapproval of what they're doing. And they're doing it almost in a way designed to be disrespectful and basically spitting in the face of Donald Trump. So I have a lot of articles about this alone. Right, we can just go through some of them, and they get completely and utterly insane. Let's just go through some of these. These are all stories from this week here. I think you'll be surprised at some of them if you haven't seen them before. But let's just see what we have here. So, from yesterday, UN Rights Chief: Israel aims to bring quote permanent demographic change to West Bank and Gaza. Israel's action in the West Bank and Gaza Strip seemed aimed at creating a quote permanent demographic change. Taken together, Israelis' actions appear aimed at making a permanent demographic change in Gaza and the West Bank, raising concerns about ethnic cleansing, Turk said in a speech before UN's Human Rights Council in Geneva, which, of course, and obviously. How the Pentagon is quietly building Donald Trump's concentration camps. These are a little bit different, but I think these tie into what we'll talk about in just a second, which is the anti-Semitism drive, how Epstein helped build Israel's global spying dominance. So, again, we'll get back into this in just a minute. And we've got the police state here. Sorry, let me find the there's just too much. Sorry, we'll get back to this as well. This is all about censorship. Israeli officials organized prison tour for Jewish settlers to observe the torture of Palestinians. This is one thing they're doing now. This is from yesterday. Israeli prison authorities gave a tour of maximum security facility to Jewish settlers where they held a Torah lesson and observed the abuse of Palestinian prisoners. Israeli media reported on the 23rd of February. Kobi Yaakobi, head of Israel's prison system, invited 20 members of the synagogue in Har Homa, an illegal West Bank settlement near Jerusalem, on a, quote, safari tour of Nitzan maximum security prison. Palestinian detainees, including one alleged member of Hamas's elite Nakba forces, were handcuffed and forced to lie on the ground and be observed by the visitors. The Jewish settlers ate an indulgent lunch in front of the prisoners who were fasting for the Islamic month of Ramadan. The settlers also blessed the prison guards. Israel runs a network of torture camps where rape, physical and psychological abuse, inhumane conditions, deliberate starvation, and denial of medical care are common, according to Israel rights group B'Tselem. The transformation of prisons into a network of torture camps is part of the Israeli regime's coordinated onslaught of Palestinian society aimed at dismantling the Palestinian collective, this Israeli group noted. So you've got the settlers from the West Bank actually taking little safari tours to observe and, I guess, be entertained by the torture and starvation of the Palestinian prisoners. That's cool. Israeli defense minister declares intention to permanently occupy parts of Syria, Lebanon, and Gaza. Israeli's defense minister, Israel Katz, has declared that the Israeli military will maintain permanent control over parts of Syria, Lebanon, and Gaza and remain inside West Bank refugee camps, quote, in place of the residents. Speaking at a graduation ceremony for combat officers at Baha 1, Katz framed the policy as a continuation of Israel's so-called historical military legacy, referencing King David and his generals. Katz emphasized that the Israeli military will maintain a permanent presence in key areas across the region, including northern West Bank refugee camps, southern Gaza, parts of southern Lebanon, the Golan Heights, and other border zones, aiming to suppress resistance and secure Israeli settlements within occupied territories. Which, of course, is in line with the Greater Israel Project and their continuing expansion of their control as they, in their own words, quote-unquote, Judaize the areas that are now not under their control. Smotrich says in the end, Israel will occupy Gaza and establish settlements there. Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich on Monday said he expects Hamas to be given an ultimatum on its finance disarmament, saying it is estimated in the coming days Hamas will be given an ultimatum to fully disarm and demilitarize, saying that in the end, Israel will occupy the Gaza Strip and reestablish Jewish settlements in the coastal Palestinian territory. Of course, again, in just blatant, abject, and disrespectful contradiction to Trump's demands. Israeli soldiers shot a Palestinian boy and stood around as he bled to death, video shows. This one's actually even crazier. So in November, 14-year-old Palestinian boy Jad Jadala was shot at close range by Israeli soldiers in a refugee camp in occupied West Bank. As Jad lay collapsed in an alley, the soldiers created a cordon around him and blocked two Palestinian ambulances from reaching him. According to video footage and eyewitness testimony, the soldiers, 14 in total, then stood around Jad casually for at least 45 minutes while he bled from one or more gunshot wounds. All Israeli soldiers receive training and trauma treatment, and any Israeli combat unit should contain a specifically trained medic. But none of these soldiers appeared to give Jad life-saving medical aid. At points, they appeared to ignore repeated attempts from Jad to get their attention. So you can just imagine the scene of a 14-year-old boy being shot. He was unarmed. He didn't do anything, but his family, his friends are like desperate. There are ambulances literally trying to get to him. He is like using the last bit of energy he has, the bit of life draining out of his body to like try to get attention from the soldiers who are perfectly aware of what's happening and are enjoying the spectacle of a little boy bleeding to death slowly in front of them over 45 minutes. And this is in the West Bank, it's not Gaza, again, no Hamas there. These are just people who've lived there for 2,000 years who the Israelis showed up and shoved a gun in their face one day. But the craziest part, and I don't think I have the video, but it is out there and you can find it if you'd like. There's actually video of the Israeli soldiers picking up a rock and going and laying it right by Jad after he died so that they could say he was throwing rocks at them. It's literally on video. The Israeli Defense Forces told the BBC that soldiers had provided additional medical treatment, but a spokesperson refused to give any details. This is all on camera. It's all a lie. The IDF also accused Jad of throwing a rock, which, under their rules of engagement, can permit soldiers to use lethal force. But the footage of the incident shows an IDF soldier dropping an object next to Jad after he was shot, then taking a photograph of it. An action Jad's family and leading human rights groups say appears to be an attempt to frame him. Okay, so this is like the type of activity they get up to. This is just like what it's like to be a Palestinian in the West Bank. You don't have to do anything wrong necessarily. You don't even have to be an adult as a child. You can just be murdered by the Israelis who, you know, the injury wasn't even fatal, except that they stood there for 45 minutes while you bled out. And then they'll put a rock by your body, take a picture of it and say, look, he was a threat. Like literally like cartoonishly the worst thing you could imagine like American cops doing. There's all those like skits of like, oh, we'll plant the drugs on him. Like they just do that out in the open. It's on video and they just deny it as if we can't see it with our own eyes. And it works because nobody's going to hold them to account because the people in power in their country approve of this behavior and they have blackmail or some other, you know, sort of Damocles hanging over the leadership of any country that does concern itself with human rights and would intervene. It would be America or Western Europe, and they're all firmly under the thumb of the very people carrying this out. So this is all in context of Donald Trump making explicit and perfectly clear demands that Israel stop this behavior. This was about a couple of months ago. It's probably 4 months ago. President Trump, I will not allow Israel to annex the West Bank. We have a video of this. I reference it a lot. We should probably just keep it in the Daily Show folder so we can play it because it constantly needs to be reminded of how they are just doing this directly and offensively in the face of Donald Trump and his very explicit demands. Let's watch.
Did you promise leaders this week that you would not allow Israel to annex the West Bank? Is that something that you said?
I will not allow Israel to annex the West Bank. No, I will not allow it. It's not going to happen.
Did you speak with Netanyahu about this?
Yeah, but I'm not going to allow it. Whether I spoke to him or not, I did. But I'm not allowing Israel to annex the West Bank. There's been enough. It's time to stop now, okay?
Okay, we have an update to this. He is allowing it. Yes, he is allowing it. They are annexing the West Bank. They're doing it aggressively and rapidly. And if they cared about maintaining relationships with America, they'd probably choose a different tack. I think it's more evidence that they do not intend to be friends with America after we do their dirty work and destroy Iran for them. And this is not a historically, out of the ordinary, right? How did Israel get founded in the first place? They convinced the English nation to first take over the area because they claimed it was going to be strategic for World War One. It wasn't actually. It caused a lot of problems for World War One since they were routinely removing people from the front lines where the actual battle was going on in order to take over Israel. It was totally insignificant in terms of strategy, but a lot of English resources went into taking over that when they needed those resources desperately on the front line in France. This is World War One. So they take over Israel. They come up with a mandate program that gives them control over it. They help establish a Jewish state there and basically do all the dirty work. They do the fighting. They found the country. They get it all organized. And then as soon as it gets established, what happens? The very people they were helping turn on them, bomb the King David Hotel. They start the Likud or whatever. I can never remember these two, the two terror gangs that formed the IDF initially, the Stern gang and the, it's not Likud, that's the other one, but Lehi and the Stern gang, they bombed Britain and killed a bunch of British people and caused terror that they blamed on the Arabs, but basically drove Britain out. They used the British army to get what they wanted, founded the country as soon as the job was done. It wasn't thank you so much. It wasn't a negotiated. No, it was terrorist attacks and driving the British out. Okay. Happens over and over. What happened to Russia during World War One? Germany sent Lenin over to take care of the Tsar, because the Tsar was anti-Semitic and carrying out pogroms. That succeeded. Germany helps take out Russia and the Tsar, the big enemy of the Jewish people. The Bolsheviks get into power. Next thing that happens, they target Germany and try to do a communist revolution there. What happened to Britain? They went to help Germany, or they went to help defeat Germany, the Nazis, in World War II. Ergun, Stern Gang, Lehi, Haganah, yeah. These all formed the IDF. They were literal terror. I mean, Israel invented terrorism. Do you know that? Anyway, what happened to Israel after they, helped destroy the Nazis and defeat Germany? What happened to England after they helped defeat the Nazis and destroy Germany? Was it all rainbows and sunshine after that? Or have they been systematically destroyed to a point where they basically are it's going to be a real tough job to even recover at this point. So this happens over and over again. It's not exactly a new phenomenon. It's just America's doing it. We're in the middle of it. We're falling for it. It's stupid. It's obviously predictable. They're basically telling us that they're doing this, and yet we're doing it. And yet we still seem to be doing it for some reason. It's completely insane. And again, I really could go on and on about this. But just know that really the only attempt to, rectify their collapsing reputation amongst America, which would be easily solved by just literal any level of moderation. Again, this is the absurd thing. Here's the video. Here's the video. They kill the kid. The guy he just drops something next to him and takes a picture on his phone. Yeah, it's on video. I mean, they just do this stuff out in the open. Everybody knows they do it. Just nobody will stop them. So the only solution they have is to just try to censor everybody, and that's not working either, obviously. But the obvious solution would be them just to, stop killing Gazans, stop killing Lebanese people, stop killing Syrians, stop antagonizing Iran, and, it'd all be fine. But they won't do that. And so instead, the only thing they're going to do is try to silence people like me, who's calling them out on it, and that ain't going to work. So I'm not going anywhere. And I'm creating more of me every day. So just stop being evil.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexshowstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. Get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.